The Sentai Review, episode 173, Turtles Wasting Our Time.
Somebody's excited because it's Groundhog's Day during recording.
I'm not.
Considering it felt like Groundhog's Day watching this shit.
I mean, I can understand wanting to kill yourself repeatedly watching this movie, but if we're going to be doing, like, jiggin' song, shouldn't we do, like, the best jiggin' song ever? Especially from this movie?
No!
Yeah.
That makes me want to shit. That makes me want to swing on palm trees.
So welcome to 2019. Fucking a month late.
Yeah, and oh my god.
A lot of shit's gone down.
Let's start this by saying fuck this movie. Fuck this movie in particular. Like,
how much I procrastinated on this movie.
Oh, pretty goddamn. You purposely went with your girlfriend to another fucking state to avoid this movie.
That's one.
That's
reason.
The reason we're late getting back here.
That is one reason I left state, because Turtles 3 drove me away. But, no, I'm going to tell you something. I watched this movie at 5:30 this morning. That's how much I procrastinated. I fell asleep at the end.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't handle it anymore.
Understandable.
Oh,
but it's not,
man,
like I haven't seen this movie before, so I do remember things.
And you actually watched it. Unlike Nick, who says stuff about remembering it.
Dude, this that. Is...
Yeah.
This...
I'm not going to lie. I sat there, I hit play, and I looked at my phone, and I'm like, you think they would know if I just listened while I was on my phone?
Yes, I would know.
And yeah. So, I was like, nope, I put the phone away. And I'm like... And the second I seen the turtles, I'm like, I immediately went to my head, like, why do you look retarded, Leo? Leo, look, that scene where she hands him the book.
But you're getting ahead of time.
It's really early in the movie.
See, but there's also one other thing that we got to do.
What's that?
Round the room!
William Bush, Reploid Bill.
Seth Lovell Sario.
Scott Action Jackson.
Shane McCree, Proto Guy.
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right, guys, I'll leave you alone. Okay,
now we can start proper.
Now we're going to start proper, okay? Look.
Turtles 3.
We're going to talk about Turtles 3, and when you get to that part that you want to talk about... how dumb Leo looks. Oh, no.
Did they change Donnie's voice actor?
Actually, yes. That's one of the notes that I have. You'll actually notice. What is it? Leo is the same. Mikey is the same. Raph has changed. Donnie went back to being motherfucking Corey Feldman because he was no longer in rehab. In fact, when he came back from his rehab and they said, hey, we're sorry we couldn't cast you in Turtles 2. We'll put you in Turtles 3. And he said, okay, can I have more money? And they said, you went to rehab. You'll get the $1,500 we paid you for Turtles 1. And walk the fuck away.
Well, to be fair, I wouldn't want my name associated with this movie, so...
I can understand that. If you pay attention to the credits, the voice actor for Leonardo, he has a copyright trademark symbol next to his fucking name like it's a pseudonym. Like, I don't want my name on this project.
Did they change?
Oh, and Splinter's voice actor changed too.
I was getting there. Yep, I noticed certain.
And Jim Henson is not in charge of the costumes anymore. So the Henson Creature Shop, that's the reason why the costumes look like shit. Ass!
Didn't he die before this movie came out?
Yes,
he did. Died the month after the first one.
But that doesn't even matter, because look, people do that with makeup artists and shit like that all the time. Jim Henson, give him all the credit, yes, badass. But he did also mentor people that could have taken up that work and done the Turtles costumes again.
Yeah.
Truth is,
they went with another company.
They cheaped the fuck out.
That's
what they did.
The Turtles, since we've watched these movies in chronological order from when they released, 1, 2, 3. First one's an awesome movie. Mm-hmm. Second one is an okay movie compared to this movie. But when you get to the third movie, they all have spots. Well, they didn't have spots before.
They had
they
some.
Did, but did, not but they, nearly yeah. like this.
No, yeah. Obviously, I did not notice them because they must have been real dark spots. Now,
yes.
Yeah. Now,
you can notice them in the second movie when they color everybody up.
But the first
but
movie,
they're still barely there.
First movie was also darker, too.
Yeah, the first movie is super hella dark. Yeah.
Right.
That's why what makes it so good. And then I saw the fucking at the start when they're
okay, so let's go through the notes then. If
Japan 1603.
Well, nope. First is double New Line logo again.
Yeah, I don't know why that happens when you
double
watch this
new
movie.
Line? Yeah,
you don't have that. How are you watching
it? On my Blu-ray, I got the standard New Line Entertainment blah 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 because of the Blu-ray itself,
and then plays it twice.
And then I got the normal New Line.
Well, before we begin, how did everybody watch it?
Oh, so they do the new one, and then they start it off again, and then they do the old... Okay.
Yeah.
That might be the reason why it is we keep seeing it as
double. I still don't understand that. No other company that I've ever been associated
with
has done that.
We're McDonald's. By the way, in case you didn't know, we're McDonald's.
Yeah, I've never watched a movie. Never watched a movie where they're like... Up here comes the Marvel logo. Up here comes the Marvel logo. Other company
Maybe
does that.
New Line Cinema was really full of themselves.
I don't know what the fuck that's about.
Technically speaking, I've seen
it literally is a mess up.
But it happened in all three movies.
Yeah.
Maybe they were really, really proud of these movies.
I don't know. But either way, I finally, since I did find my my 4-pack DVD, I watched it on DVD.
You watched it on Blu-ray?
The 4-pack Blu-ray.
I watched it on Blu-ray, on the Pizza Box Blu-ray.
Technically, my discs are
PlayStation
similar
Store
to the...
for me. It wasn't available on Prime.
You had to buy this shit.
Rent it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
No,
don't worry.
Oh, no, I was going to rent it on Prime Video, right?
Yeah.
So I went there, and it's like, this video is not available. I'm like, well, that's a sign.
I wonder why.
That's a sign. And then I sat there, I'm like, fuck, if I can't watch it, I can't do it.
Shit, 3 months ago, when we were
you'd
doing Turtles
it.
2. Yeah, you would have borrowed it. But back when we were going to do Turtles fucking 2, I couldn't find my fucking DVD set. So I was like, well, piss. So I had to buy 2 and 3 off Google Play for $4 each.
You have no idea, dude. I sat there and when it
So technically, I could turn this bitch on YouTube right
now. When it was unavailable, I sat there. I'm like, God, it's almost 5 in the morning. How am I going to watch this? Bill's asleep. I don't really want to wake him up to go over there and grab this shitty movie to take it home to watch it.
That would have been amazing.
Right?
Knocking on your door, you're like, what? I'm like, Turtles movie, it's not available online.
We'd have told that story.
Yeah.
Drive all the way here.
And I would have made that story, I would have made it so much more than it was, too. It would have been like, he came over in fucking tears because he hasn't fucking seen Turtles 3 in years, and he fucking needed it so goddamn bad. It was eating at his soul.
It would
at 5 a.m., there's something else I need a hell of a lot better than Turtles. Usually it involves my girlfriend.
I was going to say, it would be even more awkward if you were in the bedroom with Michelle again when Shane shows up.
That would also be awesome.
That's just piss poor. That's just bad timing on my part.
So what else do we got?
So then next is we're in the exact same woods as the Turbo movie. Or at least that's what it looked like to me for ancient Japan.
Oh, well, I got something a little bit before then.
Okay.
Japan, like I said, Japan, 1603. You obviously want us to know that this takes place in the past.
Well, yeah. because this is taking place right around the time that the English started trading with the Japanese, mm-hmm. and warfare on the island changed because they brought guns and cannons into the aspect. At this time, you're talking about like the feudal Japan wars, which were like 500 years of fucking bloodshed between rival families
and lords. And it's also why they're fluent in English.
And forget the blood moon that we had. This has a blood sunrise. Cue the Lion King's Circle of Life music.
Dude.
With the guys on the horseback riding towards the camera.
Yeah, but that's the whole Eastern shot.
Man, when you're watching this movie, if I just started this movie without you knowing what it was, you never would have guessed by the first like few minutes that we're watching a Ninja Turtle movie.
No,
it's not a turtle.
No way.
No.
The start of the movie makes you wonder if you've even put the right movie in. This wouldn't be bad per se, as we've seen this in many different films over the years, but I can't help but feel like it's just a predate to what kind of bad ride we're in for.
Do you know what makes me really irritates me is the fact that when this movie first came out in 93,
mm-hmm.
it was just called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then
mm-hmm.
years later, they put Turtles in Time into the freaking title.
Yep. That's because they had to. They had to tie it to the video game.
No, they didn't have to. They didn't have to.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Marketing.
Yeah, one marketing.
You might not like it, but if your job...
It's bullshit!
Yeah,
right.
but somebody's job, and nobody gets to pick their job,
So years upon years later, let's throw this on here.
Yes, because of marketing. Because by that time, the Turtles game had made a lot of money, and there were a lot of people that didn't like 3, but there were a lot of people that had not watched 3. And when they started coming out with all these box sets and VHS and things of that nature, and they were like, how do we sell this fucking awful movie? They're like, the game sold really well.
Yeah.
Call it Turtles in Time. And people will buy it thinking that's where the game came from.
Yep.
And then,
and in fact, in Turtles in Time, the little ninja chick who runs around, that's supposed to be Mitsu. They changed the bitch's name in the game. It's supposed to be the same character. They were supposed to be like, oh, nobody likes this fucking movie. Here's a game. People like video games
and
now.
And the Turtles didn't deal with their, you know, they didn't deal with any of their enemies when they were jumping back in time.
Sadly, when we talk about any material that we talk about, it always comes down to the same thing. This is our hobby. It's their business.
Yeah.
If my job tomorrow, if somebody came to me and said, you have to sell Dragon Ball GT, well, that's going to be a motherfucker.
Right.
But you better believe I'm going to talk mad bullshit about how great it is, and I'm going to advertise the fuck out of it because some moron out there doesn't know
and
I'm going to get his yummy.
Did you like Dragon Ball? Do you guys remember when Goku was a kid? Did you like that? Well, look.
That's the whole point of Dragon Ball GT, is to take it back to basics. We'd reached a point where it just was too much. It was beams all the time, and the atmosphere was lost, and the comedy had been, the heart of the whole epic had been lost, and the creator moved away. We decided it was time to take it back to basics. It was time to go back to Kid Goku. And that's what makes GT so great. Do you hear this line of bullshit I'm talking?
Yep.
This is your job.
Yep.
If this is your property.
Yeah.
So some jack-off was told, sell this movie. And he was like, people like Turtles in Time. Rename it. Step one. I'll bet you they sold a lot of copies off that dumb fucking name.
Yep.
But if they're going to rename the cover, why don't they go in and change it?
They did.
On the film.
They did.
No.
No, not in the version you're watching. They did.
Yeah.
There is actually cuts of the movie where it bleeds in under the Turtles logo and says,
yep.
Turtles in Time. Yes,
yep.
That is
That's
an actual
my DVD
edit.
Version.
In
yep.
his
it's
DVD version,
edit, yes.
it says Turtles in Time.
Yep.
They
Ooh.
Did.
I didn't pay attention to that because when I rented it online, it did say Turtles in Time.
Mine just says Turtles 3.
Because,
yeah, that's because
we're watching,
you're watching
the
original,
yeah.
which is taken from the original footage. So yes,
yep.
they did.
So yep. they George Lucas this shit.
Yes, they
yes,
did.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. It's just like there's that new Dragon Ball Z game that's supposed to be coming out. That's supposed to be a 3D version of a Dragon Ball RPG game, which they've already had the Dragon Ball RPG 3D games. But we're going to say it's like Legacy of Goku, just with a 3D feel. You know why? Because those 3D DBZ RPG games suck!
And guess what?
Like this movie!
And guess what? Some moron, no one I'm going to name in this room, will buy that game. I don't know who.
I'm looking at him. He pointed to himself.
So
he's currently spitting his tobacco into a bottle.
So yes, sadly, every time we talk about this, we're going to come back to these kinds of arguments. And we're going to have to literally say, business is business and it's fucking dirty and they want your money and they don't give a fuck how you feel about it after you've already handed them your paycheck.
Yep. That's everything.
That's why you probably have to go and find the unofficial one to get the original source version.
Right.
It's literally a sad thing. It really is.
Yep.
Business is fucking dirty, nasty, corrupt.
People want that money, man.
It's all bullshit.
Greed,
so,
that greed,
you.
Man, that greed, that corporate greed is real.
Now,
it's no joke.
When I saw this opening sword fight on horses, I'm like, how difficult is it to actually sword fight?
It's hard as hell.
It is. It actually
it's hard,
is hard
as hell. Because you have to, there's a lot that goes into controlling the horse, let alone the horse not spooking with the fact that you're clanking above its head. And if the horse is wounded or it pulls back or it feels in some type of danger, you lose control of the entire situation.
You got one hand on the rein while you got your other hand with your sword.
Yeah.
Which, katanas are meant to be two-handed swords. You see those people wielding it with one hand, they're not getting the full power out of it.
That's another thing about the katana is designed, the katana specifically, or the type of sword that a samurai uses in general, is meant for one thing. It is a handheld guillotine.
Yep.
Literally, that's what those swords are. There was an actual idea behind the sword, and the samurai in general. One cut, one kill. Clean.
Yep.
That's why you see a lot of people using spears on horseback.
That's the reason why the fucking gun people have the same idea. One shot, one kill, move on.
When they teach you forms of kendo, especially in terms of like samurai-esque fighting, the first thing they teach you is every swing is push and pull. Every time. Yep. It's two-handed weapon. When you go down, you have to pull back on your wrist so it comes down hard.
Yep.
And the same reverse so it goes up. It's always push and pull with your two hands.
Yep.
So you create that guillotine motion.
Yeah, because
you cut one time, kill one time, clean the blade. Have you ever seen that where they strike it to the side and then they run it across the top of their sheath before they put it back?
Yeah.
A lot of sheaths in old times would have a type of horsehair or something around that part to clean the blade before you put it back.
Yep.
Sometimes they'll clean it on their sleeve, too.
That's true, too.
They'll put it right here in their forearm.
And now it just looks really cool because it's become a Hollywood trope, but that was a real thing.
That would clean the blade of blood.
They're heavy as fuck, too, if you've ever held one for real. They're heavy swords.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going to say...
Trust me, I have a couple myself, and there's a reason why it is the Japanese people love baseball. It's because of the old sword fighting using the katana. You're supposed to hold the sword much like you would a baseball bat, one hand over the other. And when you do it, it's exactly like Bill said. Your top hand pushes down while the bottom hand pulls. So you just, and done. That's it. One hit, head's gone.
Well, I was going to say, we saw some of that cleaning of like a samurai-type sword in the in-game trailer when we saw Hawkeye / Ronin.
Yes, yes, we did. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes, you do see that.
He's very samurai-esque.
Because he uses his sleeve. Yeah.
He's like tucking and...
That's exactly what that is.
He's cleaning the blood.
That's clean. But yes, what else do we have here?
The costumes themselves, at least for the guys that the prince is fighting and the prince's outfit, at least I'll give them that merit. Those costumes look good.
Before we even
go... other costumes later, not so
Before we go forward, I'm going to say something. This feels like two different movies.
Yeah.
The past feels like it was shot professionally, and it feels like it could have actually been a samurai-esque film.
I would have preferred that.
And then you go to the Turtles in New York, and it...
looks like garbage.
I have something to compare it to, and I'll talk about it when I get there, because it blew my mind when I realized what they were feeling like.
It looks like the hot garbage that should be in the sewer.
Yeah, but I can't believe what they were taking from a very specific film style that I could not believe I caught on to halfway through the movie.
This movie is also based off a very specific comic as well.
Which one?
I can't remember which series it is. I want to say it's supposed to be somewhere around like 120-something. Basically, that staff is supposed to be wielded by one of their enemies type of thing. So that time staff actually does exist.
Thing.
Yeah, the scepter. It actually does exist in the Turtles comics. I just can't remember. Because I did all the fucking lore drops and everything earlier, like all the trivia shit. I did it earlier today, but I can't remember the name of the bitch that actually holds the time scepter. Because
that seems real familiar to me.
Is it Shredder's daughter?
No.
I feel like I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, fuck. I'll look it up again, but
There was also some sort of crossover between two different comics. It was Turtles and something else.
Yeah.
And she was like some weird Time Lord thing that they ran into. And
oh, the Turtles Doctor Who crossover.
She was studying under some sort of
she was the master.
Time Wizard dude.
Or missing.
Yeah.
And then she fucked up and... Yeah, I remember that. Now that you're mentioning it, I just never would have tied anything to this movie.
Yeah, you're right, dude. When you watch the feudal Japan era stuff,
I'll get to that in a minute.
You know, I'm kind of more interested in what they're going through with the English coming in and
masks. It's issues 46 and 47. Okay, I was way the fuck wrong.
I have that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's based off the story called Masks of the original Mirage comics.
You own all
of
it. No, I don't have all of it, but 46, and I have that. I can't think of where.
Rennet. Okay, in the original comics, the Time Scepter is normally associated with Rennet, the timestress apprentice of Lord...
I have about the first... Of the first run, I have, through collections and graphic novels and whatnot... I have about the first 64 issues,
You have the issue where that time staff
I do. Yeah. That's when he started talking about it, that sounds very familiar to me.
But, you know...
Because they were supposed to go back in time and actually fight with Shredder in feudal Japan, but he died in the other movie.
So the Lord, the Emperor, or whatever, is that Nobunaga?
It's Nobunaga,
close.
But they call him
Lord Norinaga.
Yeah, Norinaga.
I think they're playing on the fact that his name is close enough that certain people would go, oh,
Nobunaga.
But no,
look,
he's
the
not.
Fact, because I didn't realize it, but once again, thanks to Gaijin Goomba and fucking Culture Shock and that, fucking literally, as soon as what's his nuts, the prince comes back. He looks at the Turtles and he goes, Kappa! And I'm like, oh, fuck, I know what that is. I didn't know what that was when I was a kid. Shit.
Demon.
A water demon. That survives, if they're the mischievous type, they survive by literally slamming your face in the ground, ripping your pants down, and sucking your soul out of your asshole.
Wow.
Yep.
That's some Maniac Mikey kind of
shit. Yeah, exactly. Which, that's another note we got to get to later, but we're not there yet.
So, back to the subway.
Oh, so are we in the subway now?
We're turning to the subway.
What was going on with the sword fighting? Is there anything storyline relevant to even mention at the start of this, except for guys were fighting on horses?
Other than the fact that it's the prince, and they're telling him, hey, get your ass back home.
That's right, he was being forced home.
I think that
he
think
didn't
it was
want
just,
to follow in daddy's shoes.
I literally
no,
think
no, there's a very basilisk thing going on here.
Yeah.
He's seeing the girl...
In the
secretly,
resistance.
And he's not supposed to see that girl because daddy doesn't want
it's
that.
It's a Romeo and Juliet type of
and
thing.
And he also wants to denounce his father's actions because he doesn't want his father, who's the Lord at this time, moving with his army and tearing her asunder because the Lord would move right through her. She'd never have a goddamn chance.
Yeah.
It's basically, he even says it when he goes back to the castle and he confronts his dad. He's even like, you know, you disgrace me with your pointless war, pretty much.
Yeah, because he doesn't want this going forward because it cost him his girlfriend, basically.
Because his girlfriend leads the rebels, and he's with the Empire.
Yeah, well, man, that's so... Yes,
Empire.
No. Oh, man, this was such a fucked up bloody war, and I think it lasted like 500 fucking years. Like, the people that started the war were having children and grandchildren, and they were coming up into these wars, and they didn't know what even started it, aside from one day, I will own all of this.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. And these were rival families and different lords that were splitting up the empire piece by piece, mm-hmm. working to control the entire island.
Shit, man, that's very,
someday.
That's very basilisk with the two clans.
Yes, and that's kind of what was going on here. And this went on for a long time. In fact, if you ever play games like the better Dynasty Warriors, like Dynasty Warriors 5, they actually will give you certain characters, like the Sun Tzu family. Yep. You'll start the game with them. But since they're one of the very first families to die, in the later events that come up, that being able to pick those characters just goes away.
Yep.
Because you can't use them because they're all fucking dead. And then you talk about the Yellow Turban Rebellion and whatnot. That's what put characters like Cao Cao and Liu Bei, that's how they got together. And then there are certain legends that span from that. And then there was bloodshed and betrayal against that. And Cao Cao put all his boats together to form this giant walking fortress. And then somebody went up and said, you know, the wind is blowing that way. And fucking burned his boat, and since he tied them all together, he's like, fuck! Because it's just spread, and all this shit really happened. This is kind of where this is happening. Well, so it's feudal families.
So you get to the subway, and we're introduced to the...
Dancing turtles.
Actually, they have a lot more stuff in their subway now, too.
That's true. Yeah. There's a lot of shit now.
Yeah.
They've collected shit for...
They've been living there for a while.
Roughly 2 years.
Has it been like 2 years since the
I'm only going with the movies. The Turtles 2 movie came out in 1991. This is 1993.
So, yeah. But they are still going over. Some time has passed. Because
why are you looking at me
like after they're done doing their little dance number...
They're dancing,
number,
fighting.
Fucking...
Karate dancing.
Yeah. But yeah, because after they're done fucking fighting and Raph throws a temper tantrum and breaks the boombox because I'm tired of listening to this song.
Oh my god, dude, no. Fuck him right now from the very beginning. The fucking thing just started. It was bad enough they looked dumb. It was bad enough they acted dumb. It was bad enough it was
their
dumb.
Their rubbery mask things while they're doing their exercises.
And
like,
immediately, Raph throws this out of fucking left field hissy fit.
Yeah.
Oh, and when you get to Raph, when he's starting to talk, he looks disappointed, not angry.
Dude.
He looks sad.
The responses and everything were bad. He throws the sigh. I'm like, oh, here comes the obligatory, we have to have Raph be a dick because he's a dick.
Yep.
And then immediately, they jumped into the worst childish 6-year-old motherfucking dumb responses ever with him being like, oh no. And I was like, Leo, please stop.
Yeah.
Please fucking stop.
At least later in the movie.
And Leo and Don's mouths were both moving at the same time that Donnie was talking.
Yes.
It's like, hey, cool it, Raph. What? Oh.
Dude, everything about the beginning is so bad. I put, the turtle costumes are bad. We all know this before we even start. The attitude is so fucking misplaced here. It's like the other movies didn't even happen at all. The dancing is bad. The hissy fit Raph makes me wish I was watching a different form of kids' entertainment, no matter what it was. Even fucking Teletubbies would have been more mature.
Hey, at least at least later in the movie, Leo says something to Raph, and Raph explains to him why he does what he does.
Yeah, that's true. And at least in this movie, then all of a sudden after they're done with hissy fit Raph, all of a sudden fucking April comes down. Hey, guys! I'm here to drop off my keys so I could go on vacation. How's everybody doing? I somehow managed to buy personality at the flea market.
This shit was written for fucking 6-year-olds.
Yep.
So hardcore fucking written for 6-year-olds, it's unfucking believable.
Oh, and upper half Splinter.
We're supposed to believe that this took place.
They do show his legs a little bit when he's sitting down.
Yeah, when he's sitting down.
We're supposed to believe that this took place in the same fucking thing, that these three movies happen.
Yep.
Okay? And I have a very big fucking problem with that when the writing style has deteriorated so fucking bad that they say, nobody even knows we're down here. Hey, guys, I know you're down there.
Ugh. Okay, I said
I got some stuff. Mike says, I like stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's get to that. So
yeah,
she
goes to their presence.
She goes to the flea market.
Now, Mikey, no peeking. Oh, Mikey, stop peeking.
I'm not peeking. I'm spelunking.
Splinter's wisdom has never been so fucking bad.
Yeah, I'm spelunking for pork rinds.
It literally seems like. What did he say?
Mikey, stop peeking. I'm not peeking.
No.
I'm spelunking
right
for
after
pork rinds.
Yeah, he says that.
Oh, okay. No, right after, I heard something completely different.
Right after throwing the sigh.
I thought he said, I'm spelunking for porno.
No. Right after throwing the sigh, Splinter's like, and everybody's going, oh, no. Oh, no. Look out. Oh, no.
Fucking Splinter's turtle like, tantrum.
Splinter's like, patience, Amazon. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, God.
I honestly
And he closes that window.
I'm sorry, but after three movies of telling
his
children...
Is this laughing?
After the first two movies, after he kept telling his children to, you know, do what he says, and they didn't listen, he's like, fuck it. I'm done. I'm done with this shit.
This is the worst fucking... Mm-hmm. Not that all of this isn't the worst we've seen, but this is a tragic
Splinter. The Splinter wisdom is misplaced. He doesn't seem like he gives a shit anymore. He used to worry about his children going up into the real world in New York. But let's go back in time. Four giant walking, talking turtles in time. Huh, that shouldn't mess with anything.
Technically speaking, ninja were designed, like
yes,
the fighting style and that, to actually combat samurai. So,
yes, but they
I
were...
I mean, I guess there's kind of a reason why he's not too worried about it, but...
At the same point, but the problem is though is
yeah,
that
yeah, but the average life of a ninja was short because when ninja encountered samurai, they usually died.
Ninja
was designed for infiltration and assassination and sneaky fighting, but it wasn't actually designed to take the actual frontline collision
of warriors on a battlefield.
Armor.
Exactly.
They had to wear looser clothing for the stealth.
I got a question.
No. I mean, technically they did wear some armor,
they didn't
but
wear,
I mean,
like
it
samurai
wasn't
armor.
Heavy armor.
Anything
it was
that
like
the ninja, anything
shit.
That the ninja carried had to be fastened to the body without form of any restriction. They actually didn't even wear restrictive clothing half the time.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah, that's that one they can blend in and out of surroundings.
About how long has April been working for the news station now?
Long enough where she could take a week's paid vacation to fucking Europe.
Right. That's what I'm wondering.
That's all we know. She's on vacation.
She's supposed to be the highest paid reporter in New York. That's what she wanted
she
in the
was
first
supposed
movie.
To be, that and then in the second
yeah,
movie,
the second,
she's working for dumb dick motherfucker.
Second movie proved that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Still enough to own a fucking flat in New York.
True.
That shit's expensive.
Yeah, it is.
And the fact that it was like a penthouse
It was
suite.
Like a... It, that thing was big.
So, yeah. Well,
I know.
So, yeah. But the whole time off to go on vacation. So, unless
Dude,
she's doing a news report for... Action 5, New York
I
News.
I sat there, and when Raph was bitching, these last two movies ruined Raph for me. Man, he's still my favorite turtle.
Shit, are you kidding me? We're about to ruin everybody, because now we're going to get into gifts. Well, here you go, Mikey, here's your gift. You're the goofy fun guy. Here's a lampshade.
Oh, my God.
To put on your head.
I like how
and
he...
hula pants.
I do like how he looked at it, and he's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? The... do I wear it like a
Leonardo,
hat?
Here, Leonardo, you're very
and somehow,
good at
somehow that made him think Elvis in Hawaii.
Oh, my God, yes.
Elvis in Blue Hawaii.
Uh-huh. Dude, and then he...
What? Where did he get that
then
from,
Then she hands the
off.
Book to Leo.
Because they needed an excuse... To allow, I made yet another funny at the end of the movie.
I guess, but like, Mike and them, they're constantly making ridiculous, that they talk about popular culture more than any other fucking appearance of the Turtles I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah, we're gonna get into that shit, especially back in the feudal Japan when they enter, when they run into,
And it's impossible for them to be,
William? Is his name William? The white guy, is he
Walker.
William? Walker.
I knew it was something.
And then, but no.
Oh, we'll
so they hand.
Walker.
So
I got
so,
something on Walker.
So April hands Leo the
I
book,
got a lot on him.
And the dumbest fucking Leo face I've ever seen.
Dude,
that's okay. I had to rewind it just to make sure because I made the mistake as I was writing it down. I was like, gives Leo book on Japanese katanas, and I was like, no, she said Japanese, or he said Japanese swords. I rewound it, and I was like, ooh, a book on Japanese swords. I was like, okay, good, because that's not just katana. There's a whole bunch of other shit there, too.
And then
we're golden.
She's like, I got this for Raph. Where's he at? Oh, he's throwing a tantrum, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and she gets and puts on a fedora. I'm like, ah, to conceal that identity when he goes out.
Yeah, yeah, he gets another Dick Tracy detective hat.
Donnie gets a radio.
He gets a radio.
Not just any radio. He gets a tube radio. Because... tube radio.
Because tube radio.
You know,
apparently that's high-tech shit. Even though this motherfucker... I'm going to get to that note in a minute.
I'm going to get to that in a fucking minute. Okay. This
fucking stupid shit.
And then she pulls out the fucking scepter that she...
For Splinter,
not knowing what it is, but let's be real. I wouldn't have known what it was either.
Antique Japanese...
It looks like a
fucking... timer.
It looked like a fucking lamp to me. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, why would she assume it was anything other than like an old style
lamp,
portable
like
lamp shade or whatever. Like an old lantern or like maybe it was like an old timey street light that you put up and you put the candle in it or something. Like why is she egg time? What the fuck? And who the fuck sold that shit to you?
What kind of flea market has ancient Japanese fucking time traveling?
Hold on, no. She went to the exact same flea market that's also selling Mogwai.
I was going to say,
nobody can argue that. Okay, I made a good point.
Would this have been more interesting if she had given that to Splinter and Splinter had swapped places with Prince?
I have a question about the swapping thing when we get there, because I'm confused.
I have a lot of them.
Oh, don't worry. They explain it in the movie, because when they went through the whole time swap, I actually wrote a note being like, and this is fucking dumb because this and this. And then they explain it. It's like, oh, all right. Well, I guess maybe they at least were smart enough to kind of explain it. But...
Okay, where are we?
Okay.
We go back to the past.
And I think this is
the prince is being presented to his father.
Okay. Yeah. Have we seen an angry Raph yet? Where they zoom in on him?
Just disappointed and sad, that's it.
Okay, nope, we're not there yet. Because you want to talk about Leo's dumb face.
Right.
Dude. Sorry.
But yeah, no, because now we go back to the past with Samurai Jack.
And yes,
Ken,
Leo has
Keo?
A dumb face.
Yeah.
Is his name Keo?
Ken? Damn it.
Starts with a K.
Keno. No, not Keno.
That was the last movie.
That was second Donnie.
Yep.
Second Donnie did
Kenshin. That's right, Kenshin.
Yep.
And he...
Rurouni Kenshin, that's right.
He's being presented with his father. His father's mad at him. Blah, blah, blah. And it looked like this motherfucker... It looked like his dad was about to fucking strike his ass down.
And
he
this
was.
Clint Eastwood guy shows up.
I think... Yeah, and Clint Eastwood shows up. Bang! Yeah. Shoots a fucking bell or whatever.
I don't know why they make that joke, because this dude is the farthest fucking thing from Clint Eastwood ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trust me, I've seen Clint Eastwood movies.
And as soon as Lord Norinaga said his name, I'm like... Walker, Texas Ranger?
No, not yet.
No.
Just some douche
on a white horse. Never mind.
douche as he is. He is very douchey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very douchey.
Well, yeah.
He also seems to be about the one of the only fucking intelligent things in the entire fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, yes. No. Some of the shit
because I find him to be the most annoying
waste of space. There's no such thing as demons. It's one of the fucking samurai wearing the goddamn mask. Get the fuck back out there.
He's also the one that manipulated the entire situation. He was selling the guns. He knew what was going on. He knew about the ignorant superstitions. He was able to see past the ignorance of a society.
He was easily able to manipulate Nobunaga.
He even called April out on her bullshit after she was all like, I'm fucking witch. And he's like, she has no powers, fucking gut her ass.
Yeah, everybody was like, she's a witch, she's a witch. And he's like looking at her like...
Do something, bitch.
Yeah. I admit...
So you're a witch, are you? Yeah, I shrunk down three guys and I put them in
there.
Come
on, let's
be... They sing for my supper. I'll fucking shrink you too. Back the fuck off. Really?
She's got no power.
Dude, I can't wait to be small. Nothing. Yeah.
Fuck.
She's got no, he's a...
Let's be real for a minute.
He's a somewhat...
Yeah.
You can sit
somewhat,
there...
Somewhat, this is all I'm going to give him, somewhat legitimate villain in one of the worst fucking movies ever, so he can't be legitimate.
He might have... He actually might be one of the best things in this movie.
Yeah.
Now, let's be
not
real.
Not to me.
I know you think he's annoying. I get it. He can be annoying.
To me, he's a waste of space.
But he's a better villain than the Shredder was in the second movie.
That's a true statement.
Yeah.
He is. He's a better villain than Tatsu was ever.
Tatsu didn't do anything.
To me, he's a better villain than Shredder in the next mutation.
I
actually think he's better than Shredder from Part 2. Shredder from Part 2 was a fucking moron.
Dude, Tatsu's greatest contributor.
Tatsu's a waste of space.
Except for his fucking school. Except for his construction school.
So we can laugh about him, but let's be honest. What did Tatsu do throughout the course of two movies?
Grunt, get mad, kill a man.
And accomplish fucking nothing.
And
throw a smoke bomb a couple times.
This dude at least had small victories throughout the course of his awful movie.
Yeah.
Until he got killed.
Ish. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but
he didn't get killed. He got warped to another dimension.
All I'm saying is this.
That's why I said
is that he was annoying, but he was legitimately... Okay, the Shredder in the first movie, good villain. Menacing.
Yeah, I love him.
Walker is the second best villain
in the Turtle movie trilogies.
Because, yeah. Now, he's right here. We're talking 16th century Japan. Okay, they were intelligent. Believe it or not, yeah. They had an education system. But not Nobunaga.
They had an education... Motherfucker. Are you... Here is how intelligent they fucking are. Kenshin goes to the past. I'm going to jump the fuck ahead.
Where are we?
Let me see, we jump around.
Let's fast
Kenshin
forward a little bit.
Has a little anger fit, yeah. And discovers the scepter.
Fit,
okay,
the scepter,
yes.
Reads it aloud, transports with April.
How long in the present was the scepter turning and going?
Technically speaking, when it comes down to it, right? Like, because April's literally standing in the same position. She's holding the scepter. She's reading it.
She's
like
guys.
And all of a sudden, she's guys.
I think it was simultaneous.
Hey, come help.
I think
there's light and wind in the middle of a subway station. Guys.
And they're still looking at their
stuff. And they're fucking too distracted.
That's because he was fucking dancing with a lampshade on his head.
No, all of them.
Oh,
were.
I know.
Nobody gave a fuck.
And just now, Raphael's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
The angry man figures it out first. Like, oh, something's wrong.
Yeah. So then
we get a quantum leap.
We realize then, because here's my dumb note. So the staff only powers to incantation, but could take you to any point in time where somebody is holding it at complete random, who matches the same height and build as the person holding the staff. So either April is mannish or the prince is womanly.
At the same time, there's like a weird...
And the turtles are deaf idiots.
There's a weirdness to that. There's a weirdness to the staff.
What
the
ears?
Scepter. The scepter is constantly... Now, this is weird. Not in our time.
Yeah.
But the scepter is always wrapped or hidden or not allowed to be touched by human hands. Mm. So that's another thing, too, why there wouldn't be a lot of people ever handling it that you could switch places with.
Right.
Because somebody has to be on this side. They have to say the cantation in the past while you are in the future holding it, also being of the same weight, and you say the incantation in the future.
Well, remember that samurais were not big people.
They were not
huge people. And Asian people, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but they're not the biggest people in the world.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's because they have great diets.
They have great diets. They're healthier.
Best diet ever.
They have good. You know, they eat healthier than we do. But you know, so when they said that you have to be the same height and weight, that's not really that big of a stretch.
Right. Well, technically, all they give is not even height. They give it. You must be of the same mass.
Well,
so you could be a fucking 7 foot tall motherfucker if you're skin and bones.
And there's a short, fat guy.
Yeah, 4 foot tall and weighs about 300 pounds. Guess what? If your weight is about the same, you're switching.
So, like I said, it still doesn't... I don't see it that big of a stretch.
And, apparently...
For her and him to switch, no. I don't see it as that big of a...
Exactly.
However, he is probably heavier than her, but I wonder if it also takes into account what you're wearing, even though that doesn't switch with you, because she's wearing...
Nope.
We'll get to that at the end.
The clothes will change but weapons and items will carry over like every shitty RPG.
Her fucking Walkman went with
No, I know all about that, and I thought that that made no sense at all, but it doesn't, still doesn't matter. It still is true that if the clothes factor
weight
into the weight...
a sword is a lot heavier than a Walkman.
If the clothes factor into the weight, she's the same as him. If not... it's not possible.
Well, how much? Right. Okay, she was wearing a leather jacket, blue jeans, and
that's exactly what I'm getting at.
Well, how much did his fucking kimono weigh?
Almost nothing.
Yeah.
He wasn't built to be heavy. He was probably heavy, but leather jackets, they add weight.
Yeah. And so do jeans. Blue jeans do.
And she has an American diet, so she's a little heavier than him right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's in fighting, so he's in great shape.
Yep.
Right.
And the sword weight, you gotta consider the sword
weight. The katana
weight. No, because the sword doesn't go with him. So no, it doesn't calculate into the weight. Neither does the Walkman.
No, because the katana goes with him, just like the Walkman goes with her.
That part didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's the only thing that didn't
make
sense.
Because that sword technically...
Then naked, standing next to one another, him holding a sword and her holding a Walkman, they weigh the exact amount.
Yep.
Yeah. That's where some of it
gets
a little...
Too much of a stretch for me.
That's where some of it gets a little wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
Yep.
Some of us
know a Walkman doesn't weigh very much, and he's carrying a fucking katana, which... A real katana, that's
well,
what? What? How much do you think a katana weighs?
Depending on what it is, it actually can be quite heavy.
20, 30 pounds?
Holding a sword,
I've held a real sword before. That can be heavy.
No, I do not keep any swords in my house anymore. I used to, but I got rid of all of them.
No, I have cheap imitations at home. I don't have a real fucking katana. Mine's all cheap imitation.
I have four
real
weapons, and they're hidden throughout the house.
But, more or less we get,
I know where your fucking cutlery is. I can give me a good knife.
No, I actually
I've
have a couple.
I've seen Halloween.
I have a couple actual weapons. They're hidden in the house.
But, yeah, we do get an Quantum Leap here with April and Kenshin switching places. Yay, Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
But it's not, because they don't actually, it's not a Quantum Leap. Because she doesn't become him. They did switch places.
Yeah. But then we also have the same old gimmick.
Fainting because Splinter.
Oh, fuck you, I'm going to hurt you.
Splinter.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming into our house. Oh, fuck a rat.
Oh, I hated that. And it was played.
You had that
effect
on people, don't you, Master?
Yeah.
Out cold.
6-year-old mentality. This was fucking made for children. And it would have been fine if this doesn't make any goddamn sense. It's like taking Freddy fucking Krueger, doing the first movie, then doing a second movie where they tone it down so it plays like the fifth, then doing a seventh, then doing a third movie and toning it down so it plays like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, you mean like the old HBO series?
No, because even that was too severe to be like, Gwen, sit down and watch this.
Fair enough. It's more along the lines of Toxic Avenger then. Where they had the Toxic Crusaders.
If you're watching real close, whenever we go to the sewer den, it's following a very specific filming format. And I can't believe when I caught it, I was pissed. Have you ever fucking seen Pee-wee's Playhouse as an adult? Have you watched it?
Yep.
Because if you have, it's fucking Turtles 3 in the sewer.
Yeah.
It plays exactly like that. The characters that come through the windows, the way the camera angles work, the quick disposition moving from one comment to another.
Terrible looking people.
Yes. Yeah. It plays like Pee-wee's fucking Playhouse.
Yep.
Exactly like it.
It's a fucking nightmare is what it is.
Walker's going to be Morpheus.
If only. Actually, technically speaking, there is that crack about, hold it there, Zorro dude, in which case the guy actually ends up being in the Zorro movie from the 2000s, I think. Hmm. It's like late 90s, early 2000s.
The first one?
Which Zorro movie?
Yeah, the one with
the Mark Mask of
Antonio
Zorro?
Banderas.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's the first one, then it's fucking awesome, because that movie's good.
And that's the
90s. Yeah. Okay. Like I said, it was somewhere around there.
Second
one was
fucking
after this movie came out, so after 93.
First one's amazing.
First one's great. Second one's a huge disappointment.
because they made him a drunk and shit.
It's way more than that. We're not reviewing that movie. I have a lot to
complain
about.
We'll get to that later. We're going to try to bring back movie reviews.
We're
going
to review Turtles 3, but we're not going to review the fucking Legend of Zorro.
Right now, we're talking about things that matter, Shane.
Yeah. Because this matters for Sentai. Bring it up in the what's up.
I miss those terrible looking robots.
Which, by the way, if you got to get your old lady to work, we better press on. So, now we get to shitty rubber suits for the guards. Because rubber armor. What's the matter?
No,
you having
you
trouble
know what?
Drinking your drink?
You know what? I'm going to say something here. The reason we're not going to make fun of the fact that their armor is rubber is two things. One, Super Sentai.
Yeah.
Things like Kamen Rider and shit like that always wear cloth and denim armor and rubber and
or
things
the terrible
like that.
Battleizers.
And let's also be fair about something else. Some of the worst fucking armor ever crafted in movie history made one of the best movies to have ever existed. The Stormtroopers are a goddamn joke.
Oh yeah, that armor sucks.
Their armor is completely fucking ridiculous. Clank. Not just in the way that it looks, but in the way that it is. Like, you can see when they turn and shit that it's just fucking flaps of plastic.
Yep.
Well, I think they look cool.
So armor is always stupid and cheap.
Yeah. But then we also get to the daimyo being superstitious about April, which we already covered. Fucking.
Also.
Cutting up her Walkman, fucking being interrogated.
But that's the first time we get to see that guy
being
legitimate.
We also get
legitimate.
Back to the present between
Walker?
Before then.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's the first time we're introduced to a villain that didn't just play stupid.
Dude, I like the Ninja Turtles, but it's sad when I like the villain in this movie more than I like the Turtles.
Yeah.
Because, not Nobunaga.
He replaces the Shredder, and a lot of people were pissed about that, and they've never gotten over it, nor will they. But let's be honest here. He's a better villain than most anybody we were... Toka and Razar, were they actually good villains? Is there any fucking intelligence behind them at all?
They got defeated.
They got defeated by literally 1980s cartoon shit. They pushed a barrel and then shoved a fucking fire extinguisher in their mouth.
In which case, they should be dead.
They were getting a little smart because they realized that...
But they don't.
Yeah.
I know.
They don't actually accomplish anything besides being fucking dumb kids.
Tokar fucking... Are they good villains?
That's fine. But we're also... Like, the fucking foot soldiers, the same. The foot soldiers are nothing but fucking cannon fodder. The fucking ridiculousness of Tatsu. The only thing he does is grunt and get his ass kicked.
Right.
Oh, you mean Goldar.
All I'm saying...
Goldar accomplished more in his fucking time than Tatsu.
Yeah.
Goldar actually beat the Rangers on occasion.
And that Shredder in the first movie, he kicked the turtle's ass.
Yeah.
He made one mistake.
He was intelligent, and he was well thought, and aside from making his one mistake, because anger makes you stupid...
Yep.
Leo learned that the hard way.
Like... Shredder was competent.
Shredder learned.
Then they go to the second movie and they shit on everything that made the Shredder what he was.
He didn't do a fucking thing.
He has the fucking turtles dead to rights and he stands over there like, I look so fucking menacing.
And while you may look menacing, that ain't killing them. Yeah. They're not dying from your menacing look.
He should have gutted Raph right there at the very beginning. Raph shouldn't be alive right now.
Yep.
But... He was an incompetent, stupid fucking villain by the second
Walker?
Movie. Now, Walker, he fucking... At first, he sees something he wants. She has something. He knows that's technology. He doesn't quite understand it. But she has access to something that he could fucking do something with. He could sell it. He could make money. He could be more powerful.
And then it gets destroyed.
Yeah, but he still wants it. So what? Yeah. If you break one of his guns, he can make a new one. He knows what technology is. He doesn't understand how that thing works. He has no clue. But you're talking about the time when trade was opened up in Japan because of a model train. That's how it happened. A guy came over with a toy train and he said, check this out. He built a little track, he put it down, he flipped the little thing, and it went around the track by itself. And the emperor said, oh my fucking God.
I need that shit.
I fucking need that shit.
Yep.
That's what opened trade with Japan. So when you see technology and you understand it and you don't understand that, but you know you can make a lot of money. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's clever as shit.
He wants it. So he goes over there to get it, and then she starts talking shit, and he's like, you know what? It's not worth it. Yeah, you can go ahead and kill her. Fuck her.
Yep. To me, he's still a waste of space.
He's literally fucking
He's the only thing doing something in this
movie.
He's
manipulating the Emperor.
Yep.
Easily manipulating him. You can see it. Yep. It's because he's like, well, if you didn't...
All right, Damio, I brought you some guns and some cannons. I got a whole bunch on the boat. You ready? No, we do not need your guns just yet. Niles! Cause trouble!
Go get me that fucking...
Make them want guns!
Go get me that fucking thing.
Yeah.
Because the Emperor's dumb enough to believe that this little fucking, as we called it, ancient egg timer can fucking solve his problems in the war. I want it. Don't break it, though, because I do want to sell it.
Now, in the present, the Turtles are still trying to figure out this Kenshin guy, and Mikey's over there like...
Figuring out the Kenshin guy? God damn it, Donnie on his motherfucking Apple II has scanned the damn thing.
He scanned the egg
has
timer.
A whole 3D model on his fucking Apple II computer.
But Mikey...
That you can only play fucking Oregon Trail on.
Maniac Mikey... Maniac Mikey is standing next to Kenshin asking, how'd you get in April's pants?
Kappa.
Wow.
Cappuccino? No, can't have that. Makes me hyper. Makes you hyper. Maniac Mikey makes you... Really? Dude,
everything about this is fucking sad.
Donnie
and stupid.
Knows tech.
Oh, then that techno babble is the worst fucking techno babble I think
that
I've
was,
ever
yeah,
fucking
straight
heard.
Straight up bullshit babble.
If you took every single word he fucking said, wrote it down, and actually looked it up, he spoke a whole lot of nothing.
Well, come on. Okay, yeah. Okay. So then Casey comes down the fucking.
Oh yeah, let's bring in some heavy artillery, yeah. Casey. And yep. Casey wants
well,
to
Casey,
go
Casey,
fight.
Casey proved to you that the fucking education system failed. After fucking all that babbling, he's like, "Can you speak that in American?"
To which case, then look, fucking Kenshin explains it, and you're talking about four turtles who were raised on PBS versus Kenshin.
And that motherfucker...
Clearly, fucking the Turtles don't know shit.
Yeah, he knew what he was talking about. He understood Donnie.
Yeah. Which is also fucking ridiculous.
And he was like, oh, so you guys are well-educated.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Not about quantum physics, bitch!
Yeah. That goes beyond quantum physics, I think.
No,
you're talking about time displacement and somehow crafting an item... Scientifically, it's not even mystic, because he was able to scan it and literally...
Mystic.
He was able to scan it and actually figure out how it scientifically worked.
Yeah.
Meaning, that is such perfect, fine craftsmanship that it broke the laws of time.
Yep.
Fine craftsmanship. We're going to talk about craftsmanship.
Oh, I know.
We're going to talk we're going to talk about that badass fucking smith. That man is the greatest smith of all time.
Yep.
Back in the past, we get April in the jail and meet Casey's ancestor.
Is he a pirate? He's a pirate.
Oh, we did forget one.
I thought they were
kind
of pirates.
No, he's an English. He's an English guy
smuggler
that works on the ship with Walker. Walker. He works for Walker.
Yep.
Walker, is
which
like...
once again, Walker is manipulating the system. He purposely made one of his own guys into a traitor so that he would go down to the prison to see something from a different point of view, because he needs somebody that can infiltrate the rebel spectrum.
Yep.
Because he wants to fuck both sides.
Yep. But of course, we did forget one other thing. They're told that they only have 60 hours to get back, or basically 2.5 days.
Yeah, because...
So if we're not back in 2 days, we're turtle soup.
Yep. Because reasons, by the way. No actual reason.
In which case,
to
by the way...
To move the plot forward so
well,
I can stop watching.
But by the way, at the same time, April shows up at night, she gets interrogated during the day, and then now she's in the fucking prisons, like, maybe by about 4 or 5 o'clock. So we're almost coming up on April being there a full day. I want you to remember this.
Oh, by the way...
Did you say 2 or 3 days?
2.5.
In terms of ancestors in this fucking film, we see a lot of them, and it bothers me.
Yep.
Because we also saw Splinter's ancestor.
Yep.
They make that hard transition saying exactly.
When she's like, oh, you look familiar too. And it zooms into the rat's face. Then it transitions to Splinter.
That's not just a clever transition. Because the reason I know it's not just a clever transition is because when they make that cut, they're trying to be clever by saying, check out how much we're digging into the history. Because what we're witnessing in this movie is the creation of the Shadow Warrior organization.
Yep.
And we see the great-grandfathers.
Mm-hmm.
Great-great-great, yeah.
Lord
but
Norinaga,
you get the idea,
a.k.a. Tatsu's great-great-ancestor.
I don't know. I didn't read that, but I know that Yoshi, without a doubt...
Yeah, Yoshi.
...is the Hamato line.
Yep.
That little kid Yoshi.
He will grow up and bear children, which will bear children, which will bear children. And all those people, like that lady and shit like that, look at their heads. Mm-hmm. They're forming the first foundation of what will become the Shadow Warriors.
Yep.
Those ninjas that will later lead to everything that then reenacts the foot in the first film.
Okay.
So if they're throwing all this at us, that was not just a transition. That's his great rat grandpa.
Yep. Technically, great.
Yeah, we can't even.
Rats
have really
tiny lifespans.
So, if the turtles would have ran into four turtles, they could have been like transition.
Yes.
Yes.
Except that.
In fact, the whole reason turtles are turtles is because fucking Donatello swallowed a goddamn tadpole.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, yeah, he said he.
Yeah, that's not a joke. Yeah.
I was like, I hope
I swallowed a frog. I hope that wasn't an ancestor. Okay, in which
well, you'll know if it's an ancestor because
so
you'll
speaking
start
in which we went back in time, right? No, the turtles are on the cusp of it.
We're still working on.
We're working on Mikey trying to hand out pants, being like,
"Yeah,
well,
to be
I
smart.
Mean, if he came back." And has April's clothes. I don't want that the other dude to come back butt naked. Yeah.
To be honest, that's one of the smartest things he said.
And I'm going to call some bullshit on this part.
Go ahead.
When they switch, they don't take their clothes with them, right?
No, you wear the clothes of the person.
The turtles shouldn't have shells. Because those guys came back and they weren't naked. They had these weird leotard things on, which was an idea that they switched with the turtles, and that is clothing.
Yep.
If they don't take their clothes with them, they show up naked. Or they show up in his fucking trunks. They showed up in leotards, which meant the shells stayed here and retransmorphed into something else. The turtles shouldn't have shells.
Yep. Of course, at the same
time... Mikey should be the only one with a shell.
Yep. But at the same time, considering the fact that this is a movie for little kids and we can't show wee-wees...
No, I would argue with that because you saw... You didn't get to see it necessarily, but you saw Alex Mack naked on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't view that bottle?
Sure. Basically.
So,
hardcore.
My question is,
now
that they teleported, now that they transported.
And I saw your face in the very first episode when she discovers her power. She turns into liquid. She goes beyond a box. She rematerializes. You see her from this part down. And she's very much naked, and they even make a comment about it, and she's like, hand me my clothes.
Yeah.
Mm.
So Nickelodeon was allowed to show a naked 13-year-old, just saying.
Because she was behind a box. But at
the
same time, I don't think they were smart enough to think, hey, look, there's mannequins everywhere. Let's get a fucking Austin Power shot going.
What I want to know is that they said that the person in the past must be holding the scepter while the person in the future is holding the scepter.
So what were the four guys doing riding around? Because they were on horses.
Yes!
So all four guys were riding in a circle while holding on to this scepter.
Yep. Were they circle jerking?
In the middle of a battle.
Yeah,
because
I think
that's the one rule that they made clear. I must hold this while you hold it. Yeah.
Yes. So all four guys were on horses in the middle of a fucking feudal war zone holding a scepter into the air.
In which case, the only thing I could think of is...
And one of them was backwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, dude. Clearly they're not professionals, okay?
Circle jerking. There you go.
Yeah, because when they all... Because Mikey ends up backwards holding the fucking scepter.
Yeah. So I think that the one dude, like, there was the fight. The one dude grabbed it, went to jump up on his horse, fucked up and ended up upside down and backwards. And he was like, fuck, somebody help. And much like fucking a matchmaking queue, if you're playing an online game like Halo or anything like that, you get a little bit of time to get the fuck in there and join the battle. So, oh, all the four turtles grab it. Well, too much mass for one dude to just fucking switch. So somebody else comes over to help him. Somebody else comes over, and four dudes are coming over to help stabilize
this. But they were all on horses. So look at like the
ridiculousness of watching four men.
Because that would be, have to be, a horse has to be here, here, here. No, because they have to be facing forward. So this guy has to lean way over the top of his horse while this guy's on the side, this guy's on the side, and this guy turned around to show the ass of his horse to the face of that horse.
Yeah.
And they had to form a cross.
So basically,
a cross of horses.
Basically, these four motherfuckers are in battle, and they look like the most ridiculous assholes. Because you're fighting, and you're like, What the fuck
are they doing over there?
Why are they...
Somebody shoot an arrow.
God damn.
Well, of course, in the middle of a battle, you're not exactly going to be able to pay attention to four dumbasses sitting way the fuck in the back.
I feel like they would stand out, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm trying not to be stabbed.
If me and Shane are fighting
trying not to be stabbed.
Yeah, trying not to die. I'm not exactly going to be paying attention to what the fuck's going on at your neighbor's house.
I'm not
going to
be like this, fighting Seth and being like, what's going on over there?
Yeah, what's Bill's neighbor doing?
You mean like they do in the finale when everyone's fighting, and all of a sudden?
Yeah, it's kind of true.
Can't remember the finale.
So where are we?
It's fine.
Mikey's being taken
Mikey
into the jungle.
Mikey is riding the horse, and he says that he's like, they don't know how to ride horses, obviously, because they're four giant turtles. And
you're
he's
lucky,
like,
mine doesn't even
he's
have
like,
a head.
Mine doesn't even have a head.
Makes sense that they don't know how to do it. I'm fine with it.
Whoa, good horses.
And then they fucking get separated.
Easy. Whang, yep. And he gets hit.
I'm okay with this part. I get how they would have got separated. I get why the mass confusion would have happened.
Right.
Yeah. I've never seen 5 foot tall turtles fucking riding a horse.
Right.
Mikey gets taken, and someone grabs the scepter.
Yeah.
Yeah. She takes
they wanna,
it.
When they see his face,
she's not an idiot. She understands their lore, and they know, or at least she does, that many years ago, four fucking monsters rose up from out of the fucking depths and took out the Lord.
Which looks like Shredder.
Yeah.
And the scroll, it looks like Shredder. So
yeah, that's because...
But he said...
That's because, again, this movie was supposed to be, once again, based off the comic books.
Yep.
Much like how TGRI McDouchebag from the last movie was supposed to be one of the Krang aliens...
Right.
This time, since it's supposed to cover the whole mask story, basically Shredder went back in time. Oh, well, we best go back in time to get Shredder.
And since
we didn't get that movie has already happened, but hasn't happened. It's already happened for them, but it hasn't happened for the Turtles.
And, yep. Nobunaga.
No, okay. It's not an alternate. Okay. It's, yeah. See, this has already happened. Four Turtles, the Shredder's evidently not dead. So there was a fourth movie that we never seen where the Shredder... It would have been the fifth.
The fourth movie was actually supposed to be called Next Mutation.
The fifth movie never got made, but the fifth movie is hinted at in the fourth movie where the daughter of the Shredder specifically tells the Turtles, there's a danger from your past.
Mm-hmm.
She's basically like, we're going to meet again, and he's going to kill you.
Yep.
So there was a fifth movie where they were supposed to go back in time... and fight the Shredder, where he somehow went back in time and was going to change history and built himself up as a lord, and then they go back and stop him. And then Shredder has a descendant in that time, which goes on to become Norinaga.
Mm-hmm.
So Norinaga is a descendant of the Shredder.
Yes. Yes. They even mentioned that, because he's like, when he opens up the scrolls and they see the turtles in him, he's like, they destroyed my ancestor, now they're coming for me.
Right.
Yeah.
So... since she knows this, and this is a fucking weird green monster, she immediately says, holy shit, he came here because of that thing.
Yep.
So if he gets that thing back, he's gonna leave. I'm hiding it. Because if he can't go back, He has to stay here. If he has to stay here, we have a chance against Norinaga.
Yep.
But later on, it's revealed that someone else grabbed the scepter and hit it.
Yoshi.
No, she took it.
She still did it. Grandpa basically said, don't blame her. I told her to do it.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit.
I could have sworn that it was Yoshi that took
Yoshi
it.
Gave it back to them. Yoshi knows where it is, but she's the one that was there. She's the one that took the monster. She's the one that had the relic. And the old man said, okay, if you're right about this, if they get a hold of that, they go back, hide that fucking thing.
Yep.
Because if they have to be here, they're our weapon against Norinaga.
Yep.
That's the reason they don't get the scepter back.
Right.
Because her and the old man decided to hide it, and Yoshi knew where they hid it.
I understand. You're losing a fucking war. Mm-hmm. And
it's weird, because in the past, it's not actually an awful movie. It's everything in the future, or present, or present past, because we're way past that now.
My opinion, if the turtles weren't in this movie, this would have been a decent...
I actually think that if you were to take and edit the movie so we don't see any of the future content, it might actually be watchable.
Yep.
Minus the terrible costumes.
I can live with that because I watched...
Believe it or not, they look better when they're in the armor.
That's what I'm getting at. In the past, it doesn't look nearly as bad as it looks in the future stuff.
Right. It's like all the money went for the past set.
Exactly.
If we just would have turned this movie on and April would have shown up in the past and we already know that actress and we're like, oh fuck, what's going on? And then the turtles appear in the past and just don't fucking explain it. Let us wonder, you know, and be like, we've only got 60 fucking hours to get back. We got to find that thing. We'd be like, this is kind of like an episode from a series. I don't need enough. Right. I don't need all the information.
This movie ruined. Casey Jones is a badass.
Casey Jones fucking sucks now.
In this movie.
He's a babysitter.
He's worse than a babysitter. He's supposed to be a hardcore motherfucker.
He can't be because fucking parents lost their minds at the first Turtles movie. And they decided that everything from then on had to be made for kids.
And the second movie actually got shit on too because it was too violent.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm gonna ask you something. Where are we in the movie right now?
Let's see. No, technically speaking, if they just got carted off, then technically we're in the past. We're in the future.
How far?
1600s.
No. What is this? We're a half an hour in.
Oh, we're
probably
a half hour to 45 minutes.
Stop and think about that. You're watching a Turtles movie. You're a half an hour in. They haven't thrown a single fucking punch yet.
That's what we're about to do.
Right.
They're getting close to their fight scene.
Yeah. That's
their first fight scene.
Because, let's see, because the first thing that we got to do is we got to go back to the future where the guys are about to throw down with the king. With the prince.
I got to backtrack because of what you said.
And then
I'll let you think about that.
Get the wash. Because I'm hearing a buzzer.
When you said that the first movie was too violent, and they dumbed down Casey Jones to be basically worse than a babysitter, all he did in the first movie was fight a giant turtle, hit fucking...
Fought the giant turtle.
What's the ball guy's
name? He beat the shit out of a bunch of foot soldiers to allow them to escape.
He beat that guy with a...
He beat up Tatsu with a fucking nine iron.
And then he hit a button.
He finished off Shredder.
And then he oops!
And he oops, pressed
oops,
the button.
Oops, I killed someone.
I love that part.
Yeah.
Oops, yeah, but his attitude... And overall personality added to the movie and let us understand what kind of person he was. And he had fight scenes, and they were legitimate, and his attitude reigned legitimate throughout the course. He was even after everything had happened, he still would have fought the turtles in one-on-one, because when they growl in his face, he's like, hey, I told you, I hate it when you fucking do that. Like, he has this attitude about him that works for him, that builds the character. In this... Are you fucking kidding me?
They bring him in.
He's ready to throw down a couple of times, and then instead all he fucking does is he grabs a remote and turns on the TV.
Yeah, he's not actually ready to throw down ever. He never carried that same attitude.
Yeah.
No,
he's a goddamn joke.
His attitude is, I'm just hanging out with you guys for the day.
Yeah.
Which,
in fact, when he showed up because they asked him.
He was itching for a fight. He was like, okay, guys, when are we going to bust some heads?
Yeah, I didn't feel anything from him.
Okay, what I did like is how he did say, hey, hey Leo, Donnie, Mikey.
Hey, Raph, how'd that brain surgery go?
I like how him and Raph have that. Like that. Kind of like that.
Yeah, but it just seemed dumb to me.
It was dumb.
There was nothing in it that made me feel like that was
Casey.
They
never fleshed it out because we all know Raph.
It's not even about fleshing it out. Look, there are guys in movies that can say one line, and you'll remember it and be like, did you fucking see that dude or something like that? You never feel anything from the actor that's playing Casey Jones. It feels forced and stupid.
To be fair, when they told him that he has to stay here with Splinter, I know that he was supposed to do this, but it looked like it was real life. He was like, why am I fucking here?
Yeah. Because it was real life. And his attitude towards the acting job that he accepted brushed off on the character, making it quite possibly the worst fucking, one of the worst elements. Yes, all the costumes and things like that are fucking dumb. Mm-hmm. But in terms of human physical actors, he may be the worst represented thing in the movie.
Yeah.
And when the guards show up, he's like, I knew it. I'm missing out on all the fun.
Yeah. There's three good things from future Casey. First is, all right, boys, let's play a little hockey.
Ooh,
all right. Do like on the TV.
Oh, hockey. Hockey.
And they start punching each other, and he literally goes, what? And, like, kind of hops up a bit, like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, I can work with it.
And he pulls down the menu. Fucking, what do you... screw it, I can work with this. And puts the mask back down. Like, okay,
oh, the mask. The mask is not the original mask.
Yeah, it's not even the right mask. Yeah.
It's an actual legit nowadays fucking goalie mask.
I miss the attitude that he had in the first movie.
Yeah.
Since he didn't carry that over, it doesn't feel like Casey. It makes him one of the worst fucking things in the movie.
Not being in the second movie, I think, hurt him a lot. Believe it or not. They would have dumbed his character down in the second movie.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, when you go to him being the, quote, ancestor, when they made him cut off his hair.
Oh, you mean
grow the beard out. Yeah.
That character's played well.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm getting at. It seems like they filmed this twice.
Yeah.
Like, they filmed all the in-the-past shit, and it felt like it worked. And for what it was worth, it's not great. But it could have passed as a shitty movie.
Yep.
But then they filmed all this shit from the future. And it just seems like the actors are burnt out and done with it.
Yep.
April puts in a less than stellar performance.
Yeah. But it seems like she does a lot better in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in the beginning. Yeah.
And that's because, again, she somehow bought a personality at the fucking flea market. This time she's doing a much better job than last time.
She's doing way better acting.
I'm talking to Mikey. I need to laugh. I'm talking to Donnie. I better have a serious conversation. I'm talking with Leo. I better be, you know, going over plans. Oh, look, Raph's here. I better be, oh, no, scared of Raph.
I don't know how to talk to Raph.
She don't give a fuck.
In this one, seemed better. She seemed way better.
Maybe she got criticized with her acting ability in the second movie.
Good.
And they said, hey.
Act.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. In which case, okay. So
we get back into the past where Raphael is enjoying the natural environment and nature and stuff.
We're not there yet.
No, definitely not.
They're sneaking into the castle.
Yeah, they got to sneak into the castle now.
Remember, they have April
because they've got a free April.
Yeah, so they're standing.
She's
outside.
In prison.
There's the caravan going back through. They're all sitting around.
Then why the hell do I have turtles fighting already then?
Because the turtles did fight.
Fighting is down in the jail cells.
Yeah, that's in the jail cells.
Oh,
that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
Before we went to the fight and they were called in and everything and that guy came up and called Raph an ugly lump of dung.
Technically Leo goes, why do you have to be so sarcastic? It's in my nature.
Yeah.
Sarcasm is in your nature, not I'm the asshole fucking temper tantrum. Okay.
That's the best explanation you're going to get why Raph is Raph.
Yeah.
Raph makes.
And once again, we're back to, oh, hey, did you hear what that guard called you? You better look
out.
The
dumbest fucking face in the whole movie belonged to Raph.
Yep. Fucking eyeballs going in three different directions.
Dumbest looking fucking motherfucking face.
It surpasses
Leo looks dumb. But holy shit, Raph ate the pie. He didn't take the cake.
Hey, that actor got that one part screen time. He made every bit of it count.
Dude, them animatronics were fucking malfunctioning.
And now that we're downstairs, and,
Remember those two guards come up, and while Donnie and Raph are talking, and then Raph, being Raph, is like,
and
"Man, fuck this!" And he fucking knocks them both out.
Yeah.
How about sayonara?
Yep.
So,
believe it or not, wasn't that the first like action the Turtles had was Raph knocking two guards out.
Yeah, and I didn't even count it, but yeah.
And then we go inside
because
the jail.
Then now we go downstairs to which. Get out of here. You get out of here, too.
And then Raph.
Hey,
Raph.
Yeah. Look at me. Wet Willy time.
Oh, my
what?
Fucking God.
And that guy's like, what? What?
We waited 40 motherfucking minutes for the first fight scene and got Wet Willy time.
Dude, I don't know.
Followed by the only person allowed to use weapons is Donnie.
I don't know if that was a
throwback
for
the guard.
Army of Darkness.
Yes.
But you remember how
we had that fun little guard moment.
I would
say it's not, but yeah, I get what you mean.
You remember when those skeletons poke Ash in the eye in Army of the Dead? They just came out of nowhere?
Yeah, in Army of Darkness.
Army of the Dead. My God, Army of Darkness.
And then the entire fight that followed that was all slapstick comedy. It wasn't a fight scene. I refuse to call it a fight scene.
Can we talk about the fucking corny-ass fucking sound effects?
That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, you mean like when the guard goes to do the fucking jump kick into Donnie's face and he takes a step back and the guard slams his face into the wall because the guard is apparently so fucking stupid he doesn't realize, oh, hey, we're in a prison cell with low ceilings and major supports since the shit is made out of bricks and stone. Look out for the supports.
Dude, by this
clang,
by this,
fucking frying pan
by
sound.
This time, Bill, I was almost completely checked
dude,
out.
Dude, the fucking fight scene is all slapstick. And you know how I knew it was going to be slapstick? Because when they first came downstairs, they had the audacity to fucking call out the fact that they were about to do a fucking Three Stooges fight.
Yes.
Oh, look, it's Larry, Curly, and Moe.
Yeah, yeah. Followed by Wet Willy time. And then couple kicks, couple punches, few kicks, bunch of people knocking them own goddamn selves out.
A whole bunch of dumb sound effects.
Where the smartest person in here was the prison guard putting himself into the cage and lifting himself back up.
Yeah, but it's still a joke.
Like, yeah, it was, because they even made fun of it. They're like, man, hot man, look at him.
The whole fucking thing is a joke.
That thing up.
We're 40 fucking minutes in. We haven't had one real fight scene yet in a fucking Ninja Turtles movie.
Actually, I don't even think it was 40 minutes.
The movie's only an hour and a half.
Yeah. And we're halfway done with it. We just saved
like
20 April.
20 minutes in.
We just saved April. We got to be about halfway through the movie.
Yeah, we just slid down where they dump the piss and shit bucket.
Oh, I got something for that.
Followed by Donnie's actor legitimately falling over in costume and April legitimately having to pick his ass up.
Shouldn't those guys be stacked up on top of each other from falling down there?
Yes.
Technically speaking,
not.
Yes.
How do they end up in a row?
Because I don't give a fuck enough to even bother with. Each turtle weighed enough to fucking fly down at a different velocity.
I'll accept it.
That's all I got. I don't give a fuck.
I'll accept it if it keeps this thing moving.
Exactly.
Oh, no, I guess I didn't buy Turtles 3. Piss, never mind. I bought Turtles 1 and Turtles 2. Shit.
Where on earth did they fall into? Because not Casey fucking got separated. Big time.
Yeah.
He ended up, he was like, way the fuck over.
That's what I mean. They all landed in different spots.
When they shouldn't have.
Yeah, they should have all been, to be fair, not Casey should be dead.
He should have landed and then had literally April and then three fucking heavy turtles. Bow, bow, bow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Falling from who knows what distance.
Oh, they don't specify how far they fell.
Right.
Yeah.
We just know they slid and then fell.
Far enough that when they come back later, which technically we're not there yet, but they actually have to scale the fucking wall.
Yeah, that's true. They do.
Back into
they had to use cat claws.
Oh, shit. April should be dead, too.
They had to use cat claws to scale back up. He's right.
Yep. So April and not Casey are dead.
So technically that's a 2-3 story fall.
Because
I'm a turtle and I can't get up.
Yep.
Okay, but have you actually seen a real life turtle like on its shell? It really cannot get up.
He's humanoid. Yeah. I don't care.
If the turtles can flip while being on their back in the first movie.
That's true.
Yes.
I'm only going to make one suggestion. Maybe because he was wearing samurai armor.
Sure.
Enough said.
Why the fuck not?
That's all I can think of.
Well, that's okay, because now everybody's in the woods taking a bath next to a waterfall. And a
showing leg.
Pristine, clear lake makes me want to migrate.
Raph, turtles don't migrate. Those are.
I got a beak, don't I?
But I will give this that credit. That
to which case, then, the villagers, who are supposed to be the, quote, good guys, now get fought with Leo swinging swords and Raph stabbing with scythes.
Well, let me ask
because
you.
They're
okay, by the way.
Guys?
But before that, we had a Legorama.
Yeah.
And they swinged.
But here's the thing. At least, okay, the whole Raph, that tranquil fucking moment, looking at the water, how clear it is, they're from New York.
Yes.
There ain't no clear motherfucking water.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
So him actually seeing that was something like, that's awesome. Look how calm it is here. No beer cans.
Is it strange to anybody else that they cut all the actual fight out of this movie, devoid it of any fucking personality and attitude whatsoever, but the turtles are allowed to sexually hit on April at every turn of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Can I also mention that? Well, can I also mention that Casey sucks at fighting?
Yeah,
I mean they struggled. He struggled with that one man while the turtles are beating everybody's ass. He's over
no,
like,
technically he's fighting off like two dudes because then April's like, okay, I've had enough of this shit,
but
and joins the fight.
No matter
him.
How much future Casey sucks in this movie, future Casey can take on two fucking guys.
I don't know. I don't see any proof of that.
Yeah, that's true.
I seen him fight nobody.
Well, no, he beat Tatsu, and Tatsu's supposed to be a master.
No,
he
means
no,
he
in
didn't.
This
movie.
In this,
not in this movie.
Exactly.
He didn't do shit.
He fucking...
Guess what
he
did? He turned on the TV.
He
Congrats.
Fucking retired.
Yeah, he turned on the TV, and then he rounded up a bunch of dudes from a bar saying, hey, we gotta go. I'm out of money. We can't afford shots anymore. Let's go. Back when a shot was like $1.50 and a beer was like 90 cents?
Yeah, but minimum wage was also like $4.
That's true. That's true.
Times were tough in the 90s.
And Casey had to get a job being a garbage man because oops is his only skill.
Because shit, man, my first job at minimum wage was like, I made like $6.50 something.
Yep.
Yeah.
$6.50.
Yep.
And that was the 2000s.
Well, that's also Illinois minimum wage. New York's minimum wage might be a little bit different.
Yeah, because
you imagine it'd be way higher because their cost of living
cost
is way higher.
Living,
I heard that minimum wage in California is $15.
It's because everything
that's
around them
cost
costs
of
more.
Living.
Yeah, everything costs more.
Well,
now.
You're talking about poor broke motherfuckers like us.
So let's move on. Let's not
mansion.
Talk about this because goddamn it,
Mitsu,
this movie sucks.
Mitsu tries to take aim at April
and
Raphael.
The mighty Raph stops it with a side throw. That's right. Breaks that fucking bow.
Followed by ripping off masks and, hey, we're like the other guy you found. Remember him?
I saw that ridiculousness with the throwing of the psi. And if it would, if this movie was cool, that would have been pretty cool.
But it's not.
But instead, he threw
a
psi.
It's a slow rotating.
And it was a very slow throw.
Yeah.
And somehow her arrow fractured into like five pieces.
Can we admit that she's not Green Arrow?
Yes.
Isn't that cute? But it's wrong!
All I'm saying is that I am trying to find.
I know, you're trying
scenes.
Real hard, and I do the same thing.
Yeah, I know,
thing.
So am I.
I did the same thing. I found a really bad scene.
When we get downstairs, if you ask Hannah, be like, is this legit? I literally, when I popped in the movie, I was like, okay, I gotta take really good hardcore notes. Because I know I'm going to be the only motherfucker defending this movie. I know it.
The only thing we should be defending is maybe the soundtrack. That's it.
No, because like I say, there are certain parts of it that I don't hate. Like, I really don't hate... I hate parts of the villain, but I got to be honest. Turtles movies, these four Turtle movies that we get don't have good villains. They all fucking suck. Yeah. And if you were to stack them up against one another, sadly, this dude's the second best villain in the four Turtle movies.
Yeah.
He has an agenda. He's crafty about it. He's manipulative.
I don't know. I might have
and he accomplished most of his goals.
Yeah, but I might have to rewatch TMNT, though.
He might not be a skilled fighter.
Because I don't remember much on
true.
That villain. I just
see, now that's another thing, too.
Immortal.
This is a different kind of villain that the Turtles don't deal with very often. This guy is a Lex Luthor-class villain. He thinks. He's not about fisticuffs. He says, how can I fuck up this situation to work for me?
He can't fight.
He has muscle all around him.
He cannot. When it comes to fighting for ninjutsu fucking taught turtles, he can't win.
I love how you almost said ninjutsu masters. I was like, wait a minute, no, that's wrong. That's way the fuck wrong.
But I'm saying that Walker is one of the best things in this fucking movie.
Either way, let's move along because douchebag McDicksucker is currently burning down a village to find a scepter, killing women, children, and the elderly.
To which I made a note, by the way, that this is exactly what I mean about all the fights are fucking slapstick and there's no fucking attitude in this movie. And I don't know if fucking Mothers of America or whatever the fuck had their hands in this, but this seems like it was held to the same fucking scrutiny that animated series were being held to at the time. Mm. Such as we grew up, Spider-Man never threw one fucking punch. 5 fucking seasons. He never threw a single punch in 5 fucking seasons because it says in the contract, if Spider-Man is seen throwing a punch, your series is canceled.
Yep.
He may not punch. All he did was swing around and get his ass kicked for 5 fucking seasons.
Or throw webs at people.
Yeah.
Let other people throw punches.
And if you ever watch the 80s Turtles, they're always like, oh, we tripped that guy, or some shit like that. And this got hit by the same stupid shit, and you can tell that it was under the same scrutiny when this dumb motherfucker says, fire over their heads and bring me the scepter. This is something that would never have been said in feudal warring Japan.
Yep.
He would have killed every motherfucker there, burned the fucking houses, took what he wanted, and went back and said, I got this.
Hey, Bill. You misspelled feudal.
Yes, I did.
There's an E in it.
I was watching a very shitty movie.
So you didn't really care.
No.
Spelling does not really matter here.
No, nothing mattered except for taking the notes and getting it done as fast as possible.
Let me put it to you this way. The only redeemable thing about him burning down the villages and everything on the side of the turtles is
Maniac Mikey.
Maniac Mikey is Maniac Mikey.
He's sacrificing
himself. No, not
even himself.
The sacrifice, because we're not there yet.
But I will say that...
talking for the jokey shit.
Oh.
The two dudes fucking open it up. We're here to save you. And Mikey's standing there with his hands clasped next to his face, giving him a big grin, as they're like, oh fuck, what's that? My heroes! I'm so glad you saved me!
This movie,
this is like a legit Chucky laugh.
I know.
They ran, not because he did the laugh, because they know better.
This movie,
it is Maniac Mikey.
This movie would have jumped up exponentially if they were allowed to show the brutality.
Well, I will say this. I will say this. This part is kind of strange because it also plays into this Walker character. When he rode up and they said, there's a fucking monster, he's like, no, there fucking isn't.
There's not.
That's a fucking dumbass samurai in his dumbass mask. Then he rode by it, and at the point this time, he's not looking to kill anybody for reasons.
But he stops.
All of a sudden, he sees an actual monster, and he says, oh, fuck. And he decides he's going to kill it. He takes his gun, he's going to kill it.
Yeah.
Now, why did he stop?
And he rides by like...
Why did he actually stop and decide not to kill the monster? Because there is a real reason if you break this character down and look at the way that he's been playing the field. You know what he's already seen? He's already seen this little tapestry that says that a whole long fucking time ago, 4 monsters destroyed a lord. And that the descendant of that lord is fucking afraid and superstitious and stupid. Which he's already seen when he went to talk to April. Then he sees a monster. And 3 more monsters show up, and he says, 4 monsters? He won't buy my fucking guns because of a little gold fucking plated toy, but he is afraid of monsters!
He's already planning, I could use this against
him.
So he decides, I gotta run, because monsters... Monsters even scare me.
Because he even gets back to the daimyo, and he's like...
Even though...
Because the daimyo even gives him shit, he's like... You didn't fight with honor. He's like, yeah, that's because there actually were demons on the battlefield. I saw them. You want my guns now?
My cannons can defeat them.
All right.
Yep.
All right, I will buy your guns for silver and silk.
That motherfucker.
No. How about gold now? My price is just doubled.
Now there's demons.
Actual demons.
Yeah.
Now there's demons. I'm doubling my prices.
And you know what? He didn't have to kill a single one because Norinaga wasn't there. So all he has to do is say, well, there were actually demons there. My cannons can kill them. Not that I actually killed any of them, but you don't need to know that. There were a lot of those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
All I need is four of them to convince you, though, because your fucking tarp over there has four of them.
And guess, and get this. When you look at Walker, he was surprised.
Yeah.
He was never once afraid of anything.
Right.
He looked at him.
He was shocked as, oh, fuck.
No, I've been shocked, too.
Fuck, them bitches are real.
Yeah.
Like, now, I'm not afraid because I have guns. And so far in my short time of life, my gun has not failed to kill anything. So I know I can kill him.
And you know, and I like how Mikey puts his swords up, like, Mikey, unless you know how to cut a bullet, that ain't going to happen.
So this is actually one of those small places, like, it's sad that this movie is so fucking bad, and this guy, I'm telling you, he doesn't agree, and I'm fine with that, nobody has to agree, but right. I'm telling you, he's the second best villain in the four Turtle movies.
If he was allowed to be an actual villain, the brutality...
Yeah, if he actually could have shot all those people and left four turtles because he knew he could use them.
Because let's be real, this war was bloody. No way, a drop of blood.
Nobody ever said shoot over their heads and fucking burn their village.
No.
So now do we get the Mikey sacrificing his life to save the kid?
Yeah, technically now we're at Mikey. Yoshi's
stuck in a burning building, and Mikey's.
To which case, then, Leo performs CPR, which is an evil demonic spell, if Leo were to actually perform CPR, that kid would be fucking flattened right now.
Yeah.
Which I put right here. I said, Yoshi, as in Hamato Yoshi, that will one day father the same Hamato Yoshi that we know. That means the girl and farmers here are the same ones that later will create the same, that will later create the clan that harbors Oroko and Hamato.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny, though? Mikey's not as dumb as we all think. Because right before he went into that burning building, he grabbed that cloth, doused it in water,
put it
over his head, and ran in. I'm like, Mikey, you're not stupid. You're actually quite intelligent. You just act retarded.
And then he put the damp cloth over Yoshi's head on the way out.
Yes, he, let's be real. He's a giant walking, talking turtle. I think he can survive a little longer than a little boy. In a burning building.
But the little boy wasn't exactly breathing.
No, he wasn't breathing. That's because of all the smoke.
Yep. Too much smoke inhalation.
Yep. And then Leo...
Oh, by the way, we already talked about it. When they go to the future and we see the little, hey, we're going to play hockey thing, they played Three Stooges music just to cue how fucking sad and stupid this movie's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we still haven't seen a real fight scene.
Followed by, okay, now we have... Or no, wait, it was before that. We have... Horseback training, to which case Leo's the only one who does any good.
And Mikey getting clotheslined by a clothesline.
Mikey gets clotheslined again.
By a clothesline!
Yeah. Then we go to the future where Kenshin is pissed off. Hey, Kenshin, try decaf. And he grabs a fucking teacup and throws it at fucking Casey. Oh, try herbal then.
There's
Yay,
little...
420 blaze it.
And there's
future
Scott,
I need air horns. I need fucking all sorts of fucking dubstep music. 420 blaze it memes, go!
There's little things where they tried to act like they were... They try. The movie's so fucking bad, but they try to play to some character tropes. One is that Leonardo is definitely gone a lot further than we tend to realize.
Okay, yeah. I understand that Leo is supposed to be the quote-unquote
fastest
learner.
No, I don't even think it's the fastest learner thing. But I think we're far enough along in the turtles' lineage, while we're still calling it teenage, I think they're nearing the end of that teenage idea. And I think that literally, he is at a point in his skills now where adaptation is simple, where the other guys are still struggling to keep up. So you told him, hey, this is how this works. And since he knows so much technique, he caught on to it. Because you also have to realize that at the end of this fucking movie, when everybody's fighting in the first and only real fucking fight scene of the whole goddamn movie,
right?
He will fight the Lord. He will fight Norinaga. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about that time, you didn't just be a Lord by being some big fucking fat guy.
No, you were a Lord because you had some skill.
Right. And Leo fought him alone.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, I'm sorry. After the horseback training scene, that is kind of where my mind went sleepy by the time.
I can understand.
So,
I even put in the note, I said, third fight of the movie is slapstick. I fucking give up.
At this point, we kind of have show off that April has some weird feelings with ancestor Casey, somehow.
Because she likes the other Casey.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's because right now we're getting into cuts on top of cuts on
top
of cuts.
Yeah, back and forth between past and present.
Because we're doing, well, no, because now we're doing, like, past and present shit, but then we're also cutting in between, like, April and past Casey, like, you know, trying to mack on one another, and Mikey is trying to get with fucking Kenshin's woman, and then fucking...
Ralph and Raphael and Yoshi.
Yeah, and then Raph and Yoshi with, you better watch that temper, kid! Wait, did I just fucking say that? Yeah, you did. Because fucking herp derp.
And Mikey trying to invent pizza, but makes the frisbee instead.
Right.
Frisbee, also good. And then he throws it and hits that fucking guy that was
hits the greatest blacksmith of all time.
Yes. Yeah.
After the turtles got that done man arguing got a, over a piece
that man
of paper
got a crappy sketch
on.
Of that.
I was
going
to say that was pretty funny though when April was like, "Guys, fucking really?
Yeah,
you're just going to
make
this?
It?
Yeah.
No, we're not going to make it. He is.
He's good with his hands."
She's like, "Ugh."
She's like, "All right, yep, we're fucked. I'm just going to go."
Look for an apartment.
I'm going to look for an apartment. We're going to be here a long time. No, you're not, bitch. Plot. That's how
and then
works.
Leo was like, are there even apartments in Japan? And they're like, well, maybe condos.
And then in the present time, Splinter can somehow sense danger in the past before it even happens.
Yeah.
Ninja.
Yeah, ninja.
Yeah.
Fucking mystical ninja.
You have not studied ninjutsu, have you?
Yeah.
You get all followed kinds by, of crazy shit.
Yeah, followed by Mikey and Raph are fighting over the damn scepter, which now it falls down into the fucking well. Oh, great, now we're really boned. Followed by, welp, I guess we have to fight. There's no other choice.
I'm sorry, but if I was the greatest blacksmith ever, and you just broke my masterpiece, like 5 minutes after I made it, I'm going to be pissed.
Right.
You know how long it took me to make that bitch?
To be fair, he never finds out.
I know.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I can make you another one in like 5 minutes. I'm the greatest blacksmith ever.
That's right.
It's true.
And
followed by now Raph is going to go visit Yoshi, to which...
Wait. No,
but
no.
Raphael, you're going to die. Ah, nobody's going to die, kid. Future Scott, fast forward to the end of the movie when fucking Walker is falling down into the ocean to die.
But also here, Raphael has a yo-yo.
Yep.
Shouldn't that be Mikey's trademark thing since the second movie?
Let's be real.
Technically
speaking, at this point
it should
in time,
be, but
at
Raph
this point in time, it's
to
too late to give
kids,
Raph any kind of character.
It's true,
but they're trying.
It's
to
too
give...
late to help with any of the characters.
They're trying.
Like, what have we? What new have we discovered about the turtles? Except for that, Leo's probably far enough along now that he technique is just like a second nature to him. You just tell him how something is done, and he's got that Bruce Lee equivalent.
Raph, knowing how short-tempered, angry.
Raph has become more accurate.
And not only that, but he becomes more laid back.
No, I was going to say, I don't think that's true. I think that's just because we're in the feudal and he's seeing nature and shit.
Yeah.
But in terms of his skills, he's become more accurate.
Yeah.
Originally he was the kind of guy that would throw his... He never lost those sighs. He threw one and fucking couldn't get it back.
Broke a light and it took a while to get it back.
So now, all of a sudden, he's whipping his shit everywhere because he's got a lot more confidence.
Yeah. Technically, the only character development we get is with fucking Raph, where coming to find out, he's good with kids. That's it.
Somehow.
Yeah.
And
because nature. He wants to fuck. But I can't say that, so we're going to say migrate.
Yeah.
Hey, Seth, turtles don't migrate. That's birds.
Hey, he's got a beak, doesn't he?
It's true, he has a beak.
Yeah.
But Yoshi,
I've seen his dumb
Yoshi
fucking
gives Raphael
beak,
the
dumb fucking
magical
dirt
scepter.
So Yoshi gives him the scepter. They're like, "What the fuck?"
Everyone assumes Mitsu kept it hidden.
Did you guys notice that trope kind of got changed a little bit?
What one?
The first movie, it was Raph fighting Foot Clan, Raph getting beat up. Second movie, Raph fighting Foot Clan, Raph getting beat up. Third movie. A lot of Mikey in this one all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I mean, Raph's in it. Raph has his moments, but there's a lot of Mikey. More Mikey than there is Raph.
Yeah, this was kind of Mikey's movie.
Yeah.
In terms of being the central, more important figure.
And right. Let's be real, he got the shittiest movie.
Oh, he certainly did.
And due to this, assuming that Mitsu hid the scepter, we get the ancestor Casey betraying people and capturing Mitsu.
That's because Walker's a genius.
Yeah, it's sad, but yeah, Walker had this plan from the beginning. He needed a guy to go to the dungeon where they were holding somebody who might be a rebel, and if they break her out, he has somebody to get in with the rebels. And that gives him the information on the inside to give him bargaining chips.
It just so happened that he looked exactly like somebody that they know, so she already has some form of like connection with the dude.
Now he didn't. He wasn't able to plan for that, but he did put that guy in there for that reason.
He's an intelligent villain. He's a planner.
At first,
I thought not Casey was mad because he asked to go with them. Take me to Back to the Future, and she's like, "You won't fit in." Well, you'll fit in, but you won't fit in.
You know what I mean? And he's like, no.
And it seemed like he was mad about that. So, betray time.
Well, there's two things going on here. Yes, this was all set up.
Yes.
By Walker.
Yes.
But this dude has been looking for a chance to change his shitty life.
Yep.
And he sees it.
He sees an opportunity.
In fact, because even once he gets back and he's talking with Walker, hey, I'll give you the staff. That makes us fucking equal partners now.
Yeah, I'm ready to fucking move up from the shitty position that I'm in. I'm tired of fucking people over. It keeps me awake at night. It keeps him awake at night. Yeah. He is the backstabber that leads people to their deaths. And all those deaths are on his conscience.
Yeah. He is a piece of shit with morals. Yeah. And his morals, he knows that it's wrong.
They're finally starting to get the better of him, and he'd like to cut into a new life.
Yes.
And even if it's shitty backstabbing businessman, he still sees it as more redeemable than fake friends.
I don't want to backstab anybody anymore, but I will manipulate people into backstabbing people.
So he's ready to do the partner thing, and he tried to obtain a new partner in a different way. He was like, I'm supposed to lead these people to their death. But they got this kind of sweet deal. They're on their way out. Maybe I could be on my way out.
Yeah.
Take me with you.
No. Okay, well, I guess I'm doing my job then.
Yep. You leave me no other option.
Yep.
Followed by, oh, well, we better get a plan to get all this shit back. Okay. Here, you guys cause a distraction. We'll actually ninja for once.
Meow.
Yeah, they use the fucking cat claws.
Climbing the walls like a ninja?
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's the first bit of ninja-ing we've seen in this movie.
Meow, dude.
Yeah,
meow, dude. That's true. But this does open up to the only fight scene in the movie that felt like a fight scene. Not on par with Ninja Turtles 1, but it felt like a Ninja Turtles 2 fun fight scene. Goofy, but on par with what the second movie gave us.
Oh, you mean while they're doing their, what's the name of the fucking game? I know you already know what I'm talking about. They're doing their fucking sneak mission shit. Followed by, ninja! Ninja! And they're like, ah, fuck, silence these bitches.
Well, no. Like once we get out to the court and they start fighting everybody, it feels on par with what we got from Ninja Turtles 2. Just a fun, dumb fight movie.
Right.
This is the only time where the movie opened up to be like that.
I want to bring something up here. In one part during this, in the castle area, Mikey gets hit in the back of the shell.
Yeah.
In the comic adaption, he gets sliced.
Mm-hmm. That's fine, because the comic adaption is probably by Archie and not by Eastman.
Yeah.
Eastman and Lair, they put it down in concrete evidence. If you read the original books, they can take machine gun bullets to the back, it won't get through.
But it actually slices him, and he's actually bleeding.
Well, that's because turtle shells do bleed.
Yeah. In which case, the guardsmen aren't exactly as afraid anymore because it's like, it's not exactly a demon now because it actually bleeds.
Right, but I'm just saying, in the actual books, they can block bullets.
Robo Shredder can crack it.
What?
Anyway,
Michael Bay movie? Where he fights Riot and he steps on
blah, blah, blah,
it?
Yeah, I'm not talking
and,
about
that. Also during this big old battle that goes on when the prisoners come up, Do you notice in the background guards guarding and not helping out?
Mm-hmm. It's because their job is to guard.
Yeah.
No, I'm being serious with you. If in those times, and especially in Japan, if you were given a job to do, even if the entire place is burning around you, you did your job, and if you didn't, you were killed.
Yep.
So those guys that were put on guard positions to guard specific areas in case another family or another lord was to attack the gates, even though they see things going down, until somebody gives them the go-ahead from a superior that says, go do that, that's their job. They cannot move.
Or unless somebody walks up like, I'm going through this place you're guarding. Bitch, the fuck you're not.
Yeah, they have then to just stay there. That's actually accurate to the time. They cannot move.
And then we get to the
followed
sword.
By two trained soldiers chasing after everybody. The door gets open and, uh-oh, and they run away like it's a fucking Universal horror movie from torches and pitchforks.
Or it's that scene in Star Wars where Han runs into the corner and the stormtroopers turn back around.
Fair enough, yeah.
Well, or in the George Lucas edition, a ton of stormtroopers behind him.
Right, right.
And then we go to the honorable sword fight between Leo and Lord Norinaga.
Yeah, Shane, you can put your mic down and leave now.
He looks very confused all of a sudden.
I'm just making sure you have everything plugged in the laptop.
Yes, it's right there.
Okay, just making sure. I saw the quartz not plugged up, and I was like, man, this would have been
terrible.
That's
the HDMI,
I would have been so
don't
mad
worry.
At you. I'd have been so mad at you. Yeah,
this time
shit.
It's right.
Don't get me wrong. The only thing that I'm seeing that's kind of throwing me is the spikes are a little off at points. But, yeah. I mean,
but the weird
that
thing
can be as simple as I was thinking that I'm supposed to be Mike 4 and you're supposed to be Mike 4. So my shit could be turned way to fuck up and yours could be turned way to fuck down.
It's a possibility.
Because my loud ass and that, but I don't know. But, I don't remember
it's,
anymore.
It's an honorable sword fight that goes into some comedy. By giving the Lord Norinaga a haircut.
Finish me. Okay, you asked for it. Shit. Short enough for you?
Which, depending
Kappa.
On which depending on which culture you're talking about,
that's
he actually
that
could have just literally killed him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cutting, getting your ponytail
cutting your
caught.
Top knot, that's a top knot. Getting the top knot cut off literally is like if somebody were to cut your dick off and then start dressing you in dresses, being like, you're just a woman now.
And in some, like, and sometimes, and sometimes it takes
a
all
lot
your
of,
it's
no,
dishonorable.
If you watch, like, there's some old things that talk about it too, like, I'm trying to think. There are some older movies that talk about it, like, sometimes you would cut your hair to signify your death as the man you were, and you have to then take on a new life. Such as in, like, there's an anime that talks about it slightly, but, like, in Princess Mononoke, the prince loses who he is forever when he gets cursed, and before he leaves, he cuts his hair, and that is a signifying moment that says, I can never come back. No matter what, I can never come back. The man I was is now officially fucking dead. I cut my hair, I'm done. And he leaves it there. He cuts his hair and he leaves the tail on the floor right there for them. And he leaves, and their rules say, she says as he walks out the door, our rules now state that we cannot watch you go for the rest of your life. You are dead to us. Mm-hmm. So cutting that man's top knot literally could have possibly cost him positions in throughout the course of his entire life. It may even cost him his lordship.
Which is probably the reason why it is he was acting like a fucking punk bitch later on.
Yeah, well, once he gets his haircut, he also gets a bell dropped on him.
Yes.
In which case we get...
Who's in there? Norinaga! Whang!
Everyone stops fighting.
Ah! Rings the bell.
Yeah, everyone stops fighting just to see this.
I laughed at that for like 5 fucking minutes. Like, had to pause it, rewind it. I was like, how are they able to get like one good joke in per fucking movie? Like, that
right.
actually holds up.
Yep.
What the fuck? And it took this long to get to it?
Yeah, it took till the end of the motherfucking movie to finally make me laugh. Well,
and the joke continues when we get Walker with his cannon that shoots the bell.
Now, this was the only part I didn't understand. After everything we've seen, they cop out and give us plot armor when he's like, they're just fucking things. Just fucking shoot them. And they're like, oh, blah, blah, blah. So
well,
he takes his gun out to kill him.
Well, fuck.
He takes his gun out. He's going to kill him. And then all of a sudden, Leo's like,
hey,
can't kill us.
Why don't you shoot us?
Can't kill us. And he's like, why can't I kill you? And he's like, you're afraid to shoot us ourselves because you know that we're demons. We're invincible. If you shoot us, your bullets will bounce off of us and kill all of you.
Which, technically, that kind of comes back around with Michael Bay Turtles with the...
And he's like, all of a sudden, out of all that we've seen, finally he fucking bitches out and he's like, oh fuck, wait.
Wait, I got something else I could use.
I'd rather not actually shoot this tiny gun
and
fucking end up dead. But then I will say he goes for the more intelligent move after that where he's like, okay, so the gun will bounce off and kill me.
What about
you know
cannonball?
What, motherfucker? I brought a cannon!
So he goes and he wheels
bitches,
up a fucking
bitches
cannon.
Love cannons.
Yeah, and they're like, way to go, Leo. Yeah. Calling the bluff.
Thanks,
like,
leader. They actually do that. Thanks, leader. Like, now he's going to shoot us with a fucking cannon.
And I'd have been like...
We may have survived bullets.
If I was Walker, I'd have been like, will this bounce off and kill me?
Yeah.
Let's find out.
It is actually pretty funny at that point, too, because when he does fire the cannon... Leo uses he channels his inner Han Solo Blu-ray edition and fucking ducks his head down into his shell and it fucking misses and hits the bell. And then he comes back out of the shell with his fucking shit-eating grin like, yeah, I fucking
did Walker.
That.
Oh, very cute.
Yeah.
Very
even Walker very is clever. Like, yeah, fuck.
In which case, motherfucker has a cannon with 1,000 trained, like, soldiers. You guys, watch them. I'm going to reload this fucking cannon. It's
going to
take 10 minutes.
You see
I'm
going
to fucking do it.
I'm like, you seen him fucking duck. He doesn't want to get hit by this. Just fucking keep your guns on him, motherfucker. You're going to think that was cute here in a minute when I angle this down a bit.
Exactly. He's like, I went for the head. That was the mistake.
That was my stupidity.
Let's go for the torso.
Yeah, okay.
But instead he runs away like a bitch.
See you
and
do that shit
again. Norinaga comes up and they're like, look, Don King. I'm like, dude, you.
Oh
damn it.
Yeah, that was such a. As if the jokes in this are so fucking bad.
Yeah.
And Walker with his birds.
He forgets the birds not once, but fucking twice.
Twice? I thought it was three times.
He's jumping out the window and he hears. Fuck! All right, and he climbs back in the window to get the bird cage. To try to go, where is he? There! The window! Fuck! So he jumps out the window, runs across everything, finally gets over to the fucking edge, looks down, sees 7, like, 100-foot drop, we'll just say. Long fucking drop, off the fucking side of the wall, down a cliff, into the water, with pointy sharp rocks and major high tide waves, and he goes, fuck it. So he starts to try to climb down, and he goes, oh, wait. And he stops, and he goes to get the birds. And then the turtles show the fuck up, and he's like, here, you want the scepter? Go fetch! And then he fucking climbs down. He's down the fucking rope, which, by the way, this rope literally
he was home free! He was home free!
And he goes, oh, not again.
Forgot my fucking birds.
And he fucking climbs back up to get these 2 fucking birds.
In which case, the ancestor, Casey, launches a fireball.
Which, here's my problem with this. At the end of this movie, all of a sudden these birds are, like, all fucking important. We didn't see those motherfucking birds or their importance until the end of the fucking movie, really.
We heard of their importance once. He was like, that's the reason why I don't like people. I take care of birds now. I like them much better.
Right.
Fuck
but,
people.
Like, we never see it develop. We never actually see him hauling around birds or taking care of them. Like, just at the end of the movie, all of a sudden, because random plot element, now he gives a shit about these birds to the point where he fucks himself.
Yeah.
By the way, good shot, Casey. Past Casey.
Yeah.
With the fucking, the catapult that hit directly. Like, it's one tiny little fucking orb of fire. Yeah. That just happened to hit the rope.
And Sister Casey used fireball.
Yeah.
It just happened to fly across all those things and be aimed perfect enough to hit the fucking wood thing that was holding the rope that he was using.
And then he falls to his disappearance.
He falls. Yeah, he falls to his warping. He warped to another dimension.
Yeah, because he
he's trapped in another dimension.
Because you never hear a splash.
Well, I actually did figure out what happened here.
Uh oh.
When that fucking happens, when the fucking super fireball hits, it is so ridiculously circumstantial that as he falls to his death, this blue fucking head shows up and says, "Your ass is going to the basement."
Will I still be alive? Yes.
Sure.
Basement it is.
Yep.
Yep.
Can I have some birds with me?
No, then he woke up down there with Trini's possible boyfriend, and he was like, "Who the fuck are you?" And he's like, "Dude, we don't even have names down here."
Yeah. it's like the three demon heads that showed up in like Nightmare
so
on Elm Street 6 or whatever.
What happened to
like,
you?
Freddy Krueger,
I fought
you're
four giant demons.
This is going to be hard on the people. Yeah. I just heard both you guys at the same time.
Right.
He's like, "What are you here for?" He's like, "I fought four giant demons. What are you here for?" "I dated a girl."
He's like, "Whoa, where the fuck did I agree to go?" I dated a girl.
And now you're down here? The floating
the
head.
The other
doesn't...
person is like, then he's, there's like five people over in the corner. They're like, "We became, we learned the identities of superheroes."
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
"Do you ever see the sun?" "Oh, no.
No, no.
The blue head doesn't let us."
Yeah. He doesn't have a back.
I feel bad for Walker now because when the command center blows up, those poor, poor people.
Yeah, poor bastards.
You know, Alpha and Zordon
No. Divatox let him out.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, they're like, "Thank you, lady. You're the real hero here."
Yep.
Yeah.
That man wasn't, that, whatever that is insane. It's insane. Him and his talking robot.
His fucking robot. All
right. Well, either way, let's finish off the movie. So
Casey's in the bar with the guy.
Yeah,
those guys.
Casey's in the bar with the guys while Kenshin's back down in the lair, fucking activating the scepter. They're having a fucking moral quandary because Mikey doesn't want to fucking leave. He wants to stay.
And then Raph doesn't want to leave.
And then Leo's
like, "You know, guys."
But Donnie and April are like, "No, you dumb sons of bitches. We have to go back home or else we fuck with time and screw everything up."
Let's be real. Donnie wants to go back because he wants to play with his fucking radio.
See, that's what's so fucked up here is they didn't even make the right decision to go back. What happened was he doesn't want to. Everybody wants to stay here. April doesn't because she wants to get home to her fucking television set.
And if April goes back, Kenshin goes back. That's what we want here.
No.
That's true.
Kenshin
all we wanted was Kenshin. Look, the samurai don't want to go home. The turtles don't want to go home. The only guy that wants to go home is Kenshin. April wants to go home. And then there's the question part. The four samurai dudes, they don't want to go back. They got fucking video games and shit now. Video games and hockey.
Yeah, we got TV, we got beer, we got music.
And you know, I don't think your memory gets wiped. So when they go back, they're like, "I miss hockey."
Yeah,
so,
no, they literally do because
they actually say hockey.
Yeah.
Hockey.
Yeah, Kenshin is standing there with the scepter, and the fucking Damio walks up. He's like, oh shit!
One of the samurai comes back with Mikey's shorts, even though Mikey should still be wearing them.
Yeah, it's kind of true.
He should be.
Wait, no, I thought they all came back in the fucking white spanky shit.
One guy did
come back in the shorts, which is weird. Yeah. Because Mikey would have had to have been wearing the shorts in feudal Japan for those shorts to be there. So see, your clothes do sometimes transfer.
When it's convenient.
Don't view that
because that samurai because put his shorts back on before they fucking went over there.
And the Mikey
and
transfer.
They're all walking by and everybody's fucking giving this look like, what the fuck?
And for some reason when...
Like, the fuck drugs are you idiots on?
And when Mikey gets his last-minute transfer over, it fries the scepter.
Yep.
Yes, evidently the scepter could only, like, whatever material it's built out of, it can only handle so many times of use, and then something happens, and...
Donnie wants to go back.
And it's also got something to do with time, because they said, like, once it's used, maybe that's like a fuse that burns out after 60 hours.
So they go back, everybody goes back to their own proper time. Let me hear that Splinter Bad joke. and I saw your note.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that.
Followed by, we get to the end of the movie, in which ends the exact same way that the movie began.
Dancing. Yeah.
Say the bad joke.
I'm not saying it.
Say the bad joke.
Be thankful it's Dancing Turtles and not Singing Turtles.
Yes, this is very true.
Yeah.
And now we
it.
Get to go to...
You'll have to watch this, and if you're lucky, he fucking put it in there.
Yep. Which, by the way... Now we get to go to the magical world that was supposed to be the fourth Turtles movie, which is Next Mutation, where Venus de Milo was actually supposed to be another dude, and all of the Turtles were actually supposed to grow into even bigger mutant freaks, because the mutagen is actually still in their systems and fucking with them. Even fucks with the rat. But none of that happens, because that was the concept for a movie. And we ain't got time for that movie. Nobody liked the third movie, so we're just going to make a TV show. The ones alongside Power Rangers.
So here we go.
Score it.
Score.
Oh,
Bill,
fuck, I forgot.
You get to score this shitty movie.
And you know what? Because this was your birthday week, you get to go first.
Oh, yay.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Oh, I got the best. No, fuck. This movie is so close to completely irredeemable. It's a fucking...
Give
this movie a...
I'm giving it a one because of Walker.
If I did some crazy hardcore mass editing, I might be able to make a 40-minute watchable episode out of this. So maybe it's a fucking one.
Villain was more competent than usual until the end.
Yeah, when reasons, bird reasons.
All right, Scott.
0.1234.
Why? Because everybody has to give, like, that's a hardcore low. That's sorry this even exists. You got
watching
nothing.
Watching this as an adult,
it sucked. Well, yeah, it sucked.
It fucking sucked.
It sucked when we were kids.
No, as kids, we were trying to have fun watching it.
Then you can't give it a zero, because it does have a redeeming childhood quality.
That's why I didn't give it a straight zero. So,
but you did. I mean, that's a zero is a zero. It means you regret this ever existed. And obviously, as a child, you didn't regret it. That's like Gwen. Gwen, I think, could watch this shitty movie. And I can't pick out anything as an adult that I like, but there is a small redeeming somewhat quality to the awfulness of it, with the villain and a couple of aspects that had they been done right. I'll bet you if you reworked this script and shot it today with an actual set of people that were serious, you might get something out of this. The whole concept was not awful. The movie itself is just simply bad.
I'm giving it a 1.7, and the only reason being is because, again, the villain is decent. Yes, if you're a kid, you would be able to watch it, and they do at least explain some of it. Again, they keep especially if you turn on the subtitles. That's the number one thing that helped save me, because lately I've got to have the subtitles on because I'm getting old and deaf and blind. But when it comes down to it, you know, they go through shit, and Cappuccino? And you're like, oh, fuck, terrible joke. Well, then you go into the past. Yeah, they're Kappa. They're demons. They're frog demons. They're here to fucking kill us. Okay, now that makes a little bit of sense. Hey, guys, yeah, no, fucking techno babble jargon. What? So you have to be the same size and weight in order to transfer. Oh, and by the way, guys, you only get 2.5 days. What? We got to be home in 60 hours. Let's go. You know, and they at least explain some of it. So even if you are a dumb kid...
It's explained with the same competency as a good portion of Power Rangers.
Right, exactly. And since that's basically what we're moving into is Power Rangers, it's kind of all right for what it's supposed to be. Now, there's not much else that, you know, really gets it up to being a 2. There's a couple more things that they could have done that could have at least got it to a 2.
I mean, one is simply bad.
Yeah.
So I'm not, and we're not giving it, don't misunderstand when he says 1.7 that this fell into the realm of you should watch it.
Yeah.
That's not what he's saying.
It's bad. It's just, it's not as bad for me that everybody else is like, nope, fuck on this, especially this guy over here. But altogether, thanks to this guy over here, it is a zero.
What did you give it?
He gave it a 1. You gave it a 1. I gave it a 1.7. He gave it a 0.12.
I gave it a 1 because of Walker.
That's right. You said Walker.
Walker was only the redeeming factor in this movie.
So altogether, our combined score, may our scores combined. I am Captain 0.95585. So this is a 0.96 for Turtles 3. So yeah.
Bye.
Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com. At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.